All righty, Joel Radio is back with you. It's Joel here, joined by Corey Hall.
Shabadoo!
For this big show. What does that mean? Whose catchphrase was that?
I was maybe doing a little Sandler-y.
Shabadoo-doo-doo! Oh, okay. Thought that was something I missed. Some pop culture thing that I was not aware of. It's the...
Well, there was Shabadoo and Boogaloo Shrimp from Breakin'.
There you go. Maybe that's it. I'm old enough to remember those.
That's right.
I'm old enough to remember those, yet not old enough to forget those, apparently. That'll be the day.
You'll never forget that. There's kind of a thing where...
Are you, like, waiting for
I'm
the music?
I'm waiting for the music to die.
No, you go ahead. All right, Corey, go ahead.
No, there's kind of a thing.
No, you go ahead.
Look, I'll never... I'll never forget the way that the that leotard clung to the shapely hips of Linnea Quigley.
Yeah,
from Breakin'.
Wow!
Along with Boogaloo Shrimp and Shabadoo Quinones.
How are they not on the?
I don't know.
How are they not on the Comic-Con tour? How are those guys?
Still alive, I would be happy to see Boogaloo Shrimp.
Yeah.
Where are Ed Lover and Dr. Dre?
No, they're around. They show up at stuff.
Ed Lover's got like a show on Sirius, doesn't he?
They're just not. They're in like they do black stuff. They don't do mainstream
They do black stuff.
They don't do mainstream stuff
for the black. Well, you know, Yo MTV Raps was black stuff.
But yeah, but it was mainstream.
It just happened to be on basic cable, so we all saw it.
Yeah.
But I would go. I love Who's the Man, the Ed Lover and Dr. Dre movie.
Yeah.
I should probably own that on DVD.
Probably should, if there is a DVD to own.
I don't think it made it to Blu-ray.
It may not have made it to Blu-ray yet.
Yeah.
Go down to the barbershop on 7 Mile and go see if they got Who's the Man.
Oh, they got a bootleg of it.
Oh, yeah. You want Who the Man?
I'll head over to Sporty Cuts.
Sporty whatever.
That's right.
That's
with a Z. Sporty Cuts.
No one's getting that. Unless you live in Detroit, no one's getting that reference at all.
It's a popular television commercial.
It is. So what's going on today? I don't know. We've been away for too long, and I apologize. We were going to do a show. Is this the great thing? We were going to do a show, but I was going out of town to see The Replacements on a couple of dates. And then I went out of town to see The Replacements, and then The Replacements canceled those dates. So I was in a hotel room with no show to see and no radio show to do. So I apologize.
Well, good times.
It was a fucking stellar trip.
That sounds like a good time.
Drove all the way to Pittsburgh to see the Avengers. What a fucking nightmare that was. God damn it. Cost
me
$300 to... Now, what are those you have there?
I have chocolate and peanut butter popcorn.
I've eaten so much shit in the last 20 minutes.
I know.
I had pizza. I had peanut butter Snickers.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're going to tease me with those things.
So at what point did they cancel the show?
Well, let me tell you the story over one kernel of peanut butter and chocolate cracker jack.
That would be all I need.
All right, you do
so
that.
So give me, well, there's a prize. I can see the prize.
There is a prize in there, yeah.
I got two.
Well, I was like, I know we're messing with the formula of cracker
jack. No, and cracker jack is kind of delicious as it is, but let's try a... You know, I've had like peanut butter flavored popcorn before.
Yeah, this is not as good.
It's just, I don't know. I mean, wasn't that like an 80s fad flavored popcorn for a while?
Like, I mean, flavored popcorn never goes out of style, but...
But couldn't you go to the mall and there was like a popcorn store?
Yes.
Those are all gone, right?
Yeah, there's still designer popcorn.
There is, but it's...
And I enjoy Popcorn Indiana and their white cheddar, aged white cheddar.
Yeah, but that seems, cheese seems more a more logical fit.
No, but what you're talking about is there used to be like they would candy coat the popcorn.
Yeah.
And you could get like all these crazy blueberry crazy flavors. That was a real 80s thing.
Yeah, that's gone now. But this reminds me of that.
Little bit, yeah.
And I'm not saying it's a thumbs down to that, but it's not.
It's not bad.
I'd rather have a regular Cracker Jack.
Well, it's not like drizzle corn.
No.
Which is where they actually drizzle like chocolate syrup on it.
Or you get that ball. You ever get that ball? And it's like a ball of popcorn and it's covered in chocolate?
Do you ever get that ball?
You ever get that? No, it's a ball
sometimes
of popcorn.
Sometimes, Joel, sometimes. All right.
Not that ball. The ball of popcorn covered in chocolate.
Well, anyway, we're eating on the mic.
Well, I would say, okay, just as a review, just as a review, and then we'll move on. It's a thumbs in the middle. It's a, you know, it's okay.
It's not something I would turn down.
It's not bad.
It's not something I would drive out of my way to go pick a bag.
Sure, okay. All right, so I get to, well, so here's my, I saw the Replacements last Sunday in Detroit at the Fillmore, and because of my work schedule, I was going to have time when they announced the dates in February. I said, I can go to Pittsburgh, and I'll go to Columbus. I'll take one day off of work to go to Columbus because those dates are all pretty close. I'll see the Replacements. We know they're probably going to break up soon again, so let's go see some shows. Why not?
Yeah.
Bought the tickets, got the hotels, the whole thing.
Well, whenever there's a nostalgia tour and a reunion tour,
sure,
the clock winds on how long that's going to work.
Sure,
because the band broke up once.
They
for
broke
a reason.
Up in 91.
I'm just saying, any band. The Pixies. Sure. Pixies actually had about a 2-year run with the original lineup.
Well, they had a longer run than that. The Pixies, I think, came out in like 2005.
No, I'm sorry, their reunion tour?
The reunion tour, yeah. The reunion tour, I think, started like 2005 or something.
Really?
Yeah.
But then Kim Deal finally left.
Kim Deal left, but I think she might have been in it for 8 years or something. But yeah, I know what you mean by that. And the Replacements actually started their reunion tour in 2013. They've just been doing very limited dates, so it's rare to see three that close together over three nights. I mean, and look, stupid here, to answer your question about when I found out it was canceled, I decided I'd leave early on a Monday because that Pittsburgh drive kind of sucks. It's about 5 hours. It's not that fun. And I had the day off anyway, so I'll go to Pittsburgh a day early, and then I'll be Tuesday. I just can goof around and go to the show, and it'll be fun. And I found out Tuesday morning that the show was canceled. On Tuesday night, but they didn't announce what was going on with Columbus, so I assume Columbus was on. So now I got to kill Tuesday in Pittsburgh. So I did some sightseeing, went to the Avengers at night. You know, found a nice theater for Avengers. That was good. We'll talk about Avengers later, but you know, did that, and then actually it was Tuesday night before Avengers over dinner. I read that the Columbus show was canceled. So then I said, all right, I guess I'm not going to Columbus. Called to get the hotel refund. They would not refund the hotel because I had used a Hotwire hot rate, which was like $68. So I was out that money, and I came home a day early to Detroit. I spent, I basically spent somewhere in the neighborhood of $250 for this is what I got to have. I got to see a scenic Pittsburgh. I had Chick-fil-A twice.
You know, just...
And I saw the Avengers. And that was it. It was my vacation.
You know, I don't have any beef with Pittsburgh.
No, I don't either.
Actually, I haven't really spent a lot of time in Pittsburgh, but I've never had objectively a bad time in Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh's okay.
But when you say scenic Pittsburgh, and it is
It actually is scenic. It's more scenic than Detroit.
It is actually a nice-looking town.
It's arguably more scenic than Chicago. It's more scenic
It's on the Monongahela... And what's the other river there?
Now, there's three rivers, and there's a bunch of bridges, and there's hills, and even within the city,
there's the Ohio River, the Monongahela, and whatever the other one is. So there's a lot of there's a lot of bridges to the city, and it's not a bad looking town.
And the architecture is interesting. There's a lot of historic buildings there. I looked up some of those and walked over to those. The PPG, the Castle of Glass that they have there in the middle of Pittsburgh.
Did you hit scenic Cleveland on the way back?
No, fuck Cleveland. But I can tell you, Pittsburgh's not a bad city to look at. It's all right, you know. Pittsburgh was all right. I just wish I would have seen the Replacements. And now they've rescheduled. And then the dates are like going to be rescheduled for God knows when. The theory is now that they're going to do a fall tour, and that's when they'll be. So I'm out. And it's all because Paul Westerberg blew his voice out, apparently, between the Milwaukee show and the Detroit show. So, sat in Pittsburgh a schmuck.
We saw
at the La Quinta.
We saw Mission of Burma.
Okay.
On their reunion tour.
Sure.
It was 7 or 8 years ago. And the drummer had to have like a glass. They put up like a plexiglass shielding around him.
Yeah.
Because
well, that's to the noise.
Yeah. For the noise.
Yeah. And you see that all the time.
But it was like he was in the cone of silence from Get Smart. And it's just like that's what happens when you see old rock and roll stars.
I think that's to keep the noise of his drums in.
Okay.
Not to protect him from the noise.
Well, I think he was wearing headphones.
Well, yeah, if he was wearing headphones, then maybe that's the case. Keith Moon wore headphones. Keith Moonmore, I think, wore headphones to hear, like, the Bob O'Reilly background tapes and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But you didn't see the Jesus and Mary chain?
Not this time.
That was the same night as the Replacements.
Yes, and they were doing Psycho Candy.
There was all the old rockers at the Replacements. And God knows every old rocker in Detroit.
Oh, they were at
was at the Replacements. No, they're all at the Replacements.
Oh.
Yeah, and they were like, I wonder what happened to Jesus and Mary Chain. And they're like, well,
I mean, I saw Jesus and Mary Chain in the old days.
Right, yeah. So did I.
In like 92.
Saw them at the Latin Quarter in Detroit.
They were at one of the Lollapaloozas.
Yeah. Yeah, they were around pretty regularly.
And I love that band. I just didn't go to the
Yeah, I don't know who needs that. But anyway, Replacements was great in Detroit. Had a great time, but got skunked on seeing the other shows, and we're still waiting. So anyway, let's move on. What else is going on, Corey? David Letterman is coming to an end. You want to get into that? We got a bunch of TV and stuff to review. But
well, yeah, I know this will shock longtime listeners.
Yeah.
But Joel and I watched a lot of television.
Well, Letterman will be gone before we do the next show.
Yes.
So this is, the last time we'll be able to say Letterman is still on the air as Joel Radio is. This is the end of our overlapping television media careers.
Wow.
By the way, I've booked Jack Hanna exclusively for
is
our
that
show.
Really?
From this point forward, yes. We've got him.
We'd like you to meet our new co-host, Biff Henderson.
Paul Schaefer will be the musical director of Joel Radio. And we will have
Larry Bud Melman.
Tom Dreesen will be here on a regular basis. Whenever Corey can't make it, we'll have Tom Dreesen and
Jeff Altman is
yes.
Jeff Altman is his alternate.
Yeah. Well,
has he had Dave? Dave's been bringing back old guests.
Sure. Did you know the Hello Deli is moving next door to me here in Ferndale, Michigan?
Is that so?
And Rupert G will be there.
What about Mujibur and Sirajul?
You know what? Whatever happened to those guys?
I don't know.
I think that store is gone, yeah.
Their store closed, yeah. And their celebrity.
When I was in New York for college, I went in there and saw I can't remember if I met Sirajul or Mujibur.
I can't remember which one.
They were not both in the store, TNA's Rock America, or whatever it's called. They were not both in there at the same time, but one of them was there, and I said hi to him. I believe it was Mujibur. But they were basically there to just, like, sell T-shirts. You know, they had Sirajul and Mujibur T-shirts, and they would sell them there. But, yeah, I don't know whatever happened
to those
guys.
They were like an industry for a little
Dave
while.
Dave needs to trot those guys out before the end of the show.
Where are they?
Maybe he has already. I don't know. I guess we could Google.
I don't think I've watched every minute of it, but I've been watching for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
With the increasingly dismal
now,
notion that Dave's going to be gone. I mean, it kind of bummed me out a little
bit. Sure, absolutely.
But
it is absolutely the end of an era, because you can say, you know, the Johnny Carson era was sort of carried forward by Leno and Letterman. And now that, Carson's dead, Leno's gone. No Letterman means really the end of that. Absolutely, positively.
I mean, you could kind of argue that Conan might be the last connection to that.
But Conan had no connection to Johnny, you know?
No, he had a little connection to Dave. A
little connection to Dave, but really nothing to Johnny, so I think that's over. So,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, Letterman, Howard Stern was on last night. We were texting each other during the Howard Stern appearance. I was trying to figure out what was going on with Howard's hair or whatever was on his head that he's calling hair, which, you know, it's... You know, I said this to you. I was just like, you know, I know, look, Howard says that's his hair and he doesn't dye.
Mm-hmm.
And we also know that Ronald Reagan never dyed his hair.
Mm-hmm.
And neither guy would ever lie to us.
Mm-hmm. Those were George Washington's real teeth. I don't know. Okay. The wig part of it seems evident.
It seems like a wig.
But I am more baffled that he would claim that was his natural hair.
His natural color, yeah. But I mean, like, even if it's his hair,
you and I are.
It looks exactly like a wig. You know?
I am 20 years younger than Howard Stern.
Yeah, probably, sure.
If not more.
Is he 60 now, Howard?
He might be 61. I don't
know.
Yeah. I think he just turned 60 this last birthday. Yeah. Anyway, I have a bunch of gray in my hair.
Sure.
You have a bunch of gray in
your
hair.
I have a bunch of gray in my hair.
How is a man 20 years our senior? Have no gray in his hair.
He will say he has gray in his hair, but it doesn't show up on camera if you get real close. And that's like when my hair is long, it looks less gray. When I get it cut short, it appears way more gray than when it's longer because
the gray's
the gray gets covered up or whatever. And yeah, a guy with really long hair like Howard, I could see. But I mean, it looks exactly like a wig. I mean, I I'm not accusing him of wearing a wig.
Oh, I'm accusing him.
I'm saying it looks exactly like a wig. Mm-hmm. I'm not accusing him of wearing a wig, but if he were to wear a wig, it wouldn't look any different than the way he looks right now. It right. looks exactly like a wig. And then they trotted out Don Rickles, which was kind of sad. And Rickles was funny, but that's kind of sad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, we might be saying goodbye to Rickles before we say goodbye to Letterman. You know what I mean?
Well, it's...
Yeah. I mean, it's guys. How old is Rickles? 87 like a, or something.
He looked like a baby turtle, didn't he?
Well, he was there, and he looked at times confused and not sharp. He still got some lines off, but he kissed Howard's ass and did a bunch of stuff, and it was
nice.
It was neat to see, but at the same time, you're going like, yeah, okay. You know, think about a guy losing his fastball.
The man's 85 years old. I know. 90 years old.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how old he is. Yeah.
The man's been, well, okay, this is the best part.
He's in his 80s.
Letterman, you know, does a little flashback to like the first time you were on the show.
Right, yeah.
And in Howard's case, it was like 1984.
Yeah.
And then they flashed to Rickles and it was like 1983.
Mm-hmm.
And he was 68 years old. And you're just like, wow.
It's an old Don Rickles.
It's an old
Rickles,
cat,
yeah.
You know?
Old Don Rickles, yeah.
As an old man.
And Don Rickles was great. And, you know, look, but I don't know. He was promoting some show he's doing, but I don't know what that's going to be. You know?
Well.
Yeah.
Newhart is touring.
Now, I don't know about the Newhart show. We should go see. But I remember when Soupy Sales was touring at the end.
Yes.
Like, Soupy was doing comedy when I... Like, my comedy career actually overlaps with that of Soupy Sales. He was doing comedy in the same clubs that I was at the same time. But I was barely in, and Soupy was just barely alive at that point. But what I always heard about the Soupy... And we've had some Soupy stories on the show from Jim McLean and Bill Hildebrand over the years.
Oh, yeah.
But Soupy would just come out and show clips of the Soupy Sales show. It was Soupy and his buddy, and they would watch clips of Soupy.
I had a couple run-ins with Soupy myself.
Okay.
I must have told that story.
You had a run-in with Soupy?
He came into the bookstore when I was working there.
I don't know if I've ever heard this story.
Have I never told that story?
I don't know. Go ahead, tell it now.
Like, I must have been working the front desk at that. I must have been like the info desk.
Sure, yeah.
Because I usually worked upstairs, but I think I must have been, you know, everybody would take a turn covering... The front desk. I must have been working the front desk because I saw.
So you would look up a book if somebody wanted it.
You'd be at like the, as we used to call it, the bridge, like in the Enterprise.
Okay.
And you'd be like the first person, you know, people would come in and you'd go look up whatever they look for. And I see Soupy walk in the door.
Okay.
And I waved off everybody like I was in, like I was the, shortstop calling off the center fielder.
Okay.
And I was like, I got this. I just turned to my coworkers and went, I got this. I'm on Soupy. And then for like the next hour and a half, I was on Soupy duty. And I walked him around and got all his books. And then like halfway through, he's like, I need to sit down. So I like ran and got Soupy a chair.
How many books did Soupy need?
Like 3 or 4 books. I wasn't whatever. He got I think he got some jazz CDs.
Okay.
And he bought a couple books. And, like, nobody else is, like, flipping out.
Yeah.
I think a couple people recognized him.
Sure, yeah.
But, like, I'm flipping out being like, fucking Soupy Sales is in here.
Here he is.
And this was, I did not have a cell phone camera at the time.
Yeah.
These cell phones did not have cameras.
No.
This is how old this was.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so I was on Soupy duty, and he was old and shuffled.
Yeah, okay.
And I asked him how White Fang was doing. And he's like, he's an ornery guy. And so you know, that was... anyway. But yeah, Soupy was around doing clubs, and he would sit on a stool and show clips of
that. So I don't know if Newhart does a real
Here's
show.
Joey Bishop hitting me with a pie.
Yeah, I don't know what, but that's what I
heard. You know what? I bet Newhart does a good show.
Yeah?
And I'd like to see what he does.
He's on tour.
Yeah.
Jeez.
What's the last time? But see, Newhart always did not jokes, but bits.
Yeah.
His things were whole.
He grabbed the phone and...
They were whole. He was like the publicist for Abraham Lincoln talking about, are you okay with the beard? What do you, do you think?
Monologues.
Right? Yeah, like, yeah, that, sure. He would do a one-sided phone act, yeah, which, of yeah. course, Shelley Berman claims he stole from him. But Nichols and May would do...
By the way, I'm stealing the one-sided phone act from everybody.
Right. But, like, Nichols and May would do both sides of the phone conversation. Yeah, yeah. That was just, like, a style of the late 50s. Yeah, I don't know what that was. But, anyway...
Well, then, it wasn't even Lily Tomlin did that, where she was the... Wasn't that her bit, where she was the switchboard operator?
Mm. Yeah, yeah,
it's kind of the same, a different version of that, but
right, right,
same
the
idea.
One ring a dingy thing. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I would like to see what Newhart has to offer. It's a totally different.
How
style.
About I put together a tour?
Mm-hmm.
Newhart, Rickles.
Mm-hmm.
Who else is still? Who else is still
who's alive?
Yeah, I was gonna say Pat Cooper, maybe.
What? What you want me to be with Rickles?
We'll start it at like
I'm Pat Cooper.
We'll start it at like
I'm A Company.
We'll start it at like 4.
Yeah.
Well, comedy festival.
We'll start
started at 4, be done by 8. Come on. Sounds like a great
Golden
thing.
Corral will sponsor it.
Absolutely, man.
What if we just took a shuttle from Golden Corral?
I don't know. Are they at Golden Corral or are
oh,
they
you know who could
like...
be on this? Norm Crosby.
Yeah, Norm Crosby's still around.
Mm-hmm. Sign of the Beef Carver.
There you go. That now you're talking.
Well, Golden Corral, old people like that, too.
Do they like that, too?
Old people love a buffet.
I thought Golden Corral was more like White Trash.
Well,
you get that, too?
There's that, too. But old people, the less they have to interact with the schmuggy waiter, the better for them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so they just want, they want the convenience of...
If you tell an old bastard
yeah.
that there's unlimited pudding...
Well,
they're
but,
very happy.
But don't old folks get a deal at the buffet?
They also
too?
Get a discount.
Yeah, so it's for them probably $8 to get the buffet.
Right. Old Country Buffet brings you.
You and I will get, it'll be $17 for us to eat there.
The buffet sounded like a good idea when I was 24.
Sure.
And yeah. we would, in fact, go to the buffet.
I've been to the buffet.
When we were in our mid-20s, mm-hmm. we would go, not you and me, but
yeah.
I hadn't met you yet. But we're in our mid-20s, we would go to the buffet.
Yeah.
And like... I remember one time we went and we're like, let's see if we can stretch this lunch into the dinner menu. And we did. And
so
we
you got to have a little bit of both.
We sat there for like 3 hours
yeah.
until they broke out the dinner. And then we were like, oh, we're almost out of here. It's dinner. And then they reeled out the ribs.
Yeah.
And we went, son of a bitch.
Oh.
And then literally my old roommate Monday threw up in the parking lot of the old Country Buffet. Which was smart.
Yeah.
He was smart because the rest of us were punished.
No.
We were like, he just went tossed his cookies in the parking lot.
Well,
we had to sit there with the gut.
Trying to think what was the last buffet I had. Mm. Now, I had some casino buffets on the road.
Yeah.
I usually gave you that. I got for doing the MGM casino here in Detroit. I did a show at the Loser's Lounge with Bill Bouchard.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave us a buffet, like a free buffet. But I could have it whenever I wanted. I didn't have to have it like that day. Mm. So I brought I took a date down there later. And we split, or, you know, I bought her buffet. It was like $27 buffet. MGM, it was a good buffet. Well, they had like a sushi bar at the MGM Grand. They had prime rib. Mm. I mean, it was a nice buffet. And then, you know, I guess I know I went to Ponderosa one year when I was at the Gathering of the Juggalos. Because the hotel was next to a Ponderosa. Now, that's a buffet, right? Or is that more of like expanded salad
that's
bar?
That's more like cafeteria seating.
Okay. Because the steak is not buffet.
You order like a steak and then you get like a salad bar.
Right. But I think,
that's in the gray...
I think they had chicken wings and stuff at the salad bar.
That's kind of in a gray area.
Desserts.
It's on the periphery of a buffet.
Sure. Yeah.
No, you're right. The casino gigs are where you'll get a buffet.
You'll give you the buffet, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, is there a gig at the Firekeepers Casino? Because I drive by that all the time.
I think there might be now. I don't
it's
know.
Past Battle Creek.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there was a Firekeepers, which was in somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Was in one of the UP casinos. I don't know if it's the
all
same
these casinos guy. In Michigan, in the northern parts of Michigan, and the western parts of Michigan.
Uh-huh.
They are Native American casinos.
Oh, yeah, of course they are.
In that, there's one moccasin in the lobby.
Well, aren't technically the Detroit casinos Indian casinos as well?
I think one.
There's a percentage, but there's a percentage of
I
them
think
that
there is. I think
must be owned.
I think
by
there's native ownership of
Greek town,
a component of at least one of them.
All right. Well, so Letterman's ending, and it's
sad.
Oh
yeah, the Greeks had to sell out. they had some shady land deal.
Yeah.
And the Greek guys had to Pappus, and those guys had to
but
sell
I thought
out.
The deal was they have to sell them the land to the Indians, and then they could build a casino, and then they something like that.
Joel, I believe that's offensive terminology. The term is red man.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I apologize. All right, let's move on.
So they traded wampum for... No, but there's always...
The Greeks gave him fire water, and...
Well, it's just funny. When you do a bunch of these casinos, and I've done a handful of them...
$75 in beads, they got...
Exactly.
Them. Yeah.
They gave him some maize.
Yeah.
Fistful of maize. Some diphtheria pills.
Well, speaking of old show business...
But there's always the one spear or a canoe mounted in a corner.
Yeah. Right, yeah, they give you...
And there's your Native American...
History of Native American
stuff.
But it's
like, that's about it.
Sure. I'm going to be... I have a little plug for me this Sunday, May 10th. No, May 17th. I'll be performing with Jimmy J.J. Walker from Good Times.
Wow.
We all know Jimmy Walker, and if you want to see a great show, come down to O'Mara's in Berkeley, Michigan at 12 Mile and Coolidge, and go see Jimmy Walker. I'll be the MC. Heather Kozlikowski, who's been on the show as well, will be the feature act, and there you go. There's your show. Jimmy Walker and Joel Fragamenti, finally, together.
Wow.
Now, we've actually performed together a couple times, me and Jimmy. but you know, Jimmy's a legend. Right?
I guess. I mean,
why not?
Right.
If they said Carol O'Connor was coming to a town near you, you'd go right over there.
Look,
Jimmy's show was just as big.
Go check out the show.
Yeah.
Go see Joel and Heather Kozlikowski.
Sure.
Our friend.
Yeah.
And just think that it only took... In 1978, Jimmy Walker was the toast of show business.
Yeah.
He was on the Dinosaur Show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not speaking well today. The Dinosaur Show.
Pop.
I know.
Cracker Jack.
The Tonight Show. He was on every magazine cover,
yeah.
People Magazine. He was the producer of Ebony Genius Productions.
Yeah.
He discovered Jay Leno. He was his first manager. And now he's playing Berkeley, Michigan at an old folks home.
Well, you know, O'Mara's, let's not forget, is where we did the live Joel radio shows from last year.
And if you remember how good those were. Now,
that's
now,
the place I quit on the air. Yeah.
Now think about Kid Dynamite.
Yeah. So this is a venue that I quit. This is a venue that I decided I was too good for this venue.
The venue.
And now Jimmy's coming in.
Piss poor for Joel Fragamenti.
Yeah, yeah.
A man who's hit people in the face with a fish and clown makeup. He can't play O'Mara's.
Yeah, I guess I have hit a guy with a fish.
There you go. Thank you.
I'm trying to remember hitting a guy with a fish. It wasn't as fun as you think.
It wasn't as much fun as you think. Probably because it was 85 degrees.
Yeah.
And you were wearing clown makeup surrounded by fucking people on tethers.
All right.
Look, J.J. Walker, go see that show. I don't want to. No, it's fun.
Yeah, why not go see? I mean, when you get if you're a kid who grew up watching Good Times and you enjoyed that, go say hi to Jimmy and tell him I'm what a fan you were.
Well,
Jimmy's got a show. I don't know what it's going to be.
I'm working with it only. A slightly smaller icon this weekend.
Yeah.
You can come see me at Big Tommy's Comedy Club in Novi, Michigan.
Yeah.
With the scion of Clio, Russ Brown.
Oh, God.
That's right. Yeah. Dr. Gold Tongue.
Russ has been on this show.
The hillbilly bitch splitter.
There he is.
Russ Brown. About to hang up his tongue.
Well, he's... Because
he's getting married
Russ
again.
Russ is getting married. Maybe we should have Russ on the show before he gets married.
Well, yeah, we hurry up.
Yeah.
See if he'll call in.
No. For another time. We got too much. Got a big agenda here, Corey. Corey, please. I haven't even talked about the Iron Sheik documentary. We got to carve out 40 minutes. Listen, but more old time Hollywood stuff. I saw a magic show over the weekend. Which, if you want to see a good magic show, you want to see a good magic show.
Was
Corey.
Doug Henning in town?
Doug Henning was not at the magic show. Doug Henning's dead anyway.
But, Harry Blackstone Jr.?
Harry Blackstone Jr. is dead. I've actually visited his grave, believe it or not. Did you know that?
I probably did.
I have a photo. You know what? I'll put it on Joel Radio. I have a photograph of me at Harry Blackstone's grave. I have to dig it up, but it's you know.
In the many years I've known Joel Fragamenti, I don't know if I've heard a sadder phrase come out of his mouth. Wow. I mean, the one that comes back to me over time and time again. Red Robin's a real nice place to take a girl. That's one that sticks with me.
I said that?
Yeah.
Well, produce the tape.
But when you said, I visited Harry Blackstone's grave.
Visited Harry Blackstone's grave? It's in Colon, Michigan.
Of course it is.
It's in Colon, Michigan. It's the magic capital of the world, Colon, Michigan.
You could take that grave and shove it up your ass. Colon, Michigan.
Colon, Michigan. Colon, and you know who else is buried? Colon, Michigan. You know who's buried right next to Harry Blackstone Jr. in Colon, Michigan?
I got an idea. Wait,
I'll tell you. No.
Topo Gigio.
No.
No?
Harry Blackstone Sr. is buried right next to Harry Blackstone Jr.
Well, yeah, they already had the plot.
Yeah, it was already. The headstone was there. It says Blackstone. Sure. Why not just throw the son in right on top of the dad?
No problem.
And,
you know what it is? They're in a box.
It's Colon, Michigan. It's a small place. Yeah, is that what it is? Yeah.
What it was they had one coffin.
Yeah.
And they cut it down the middle.
Sure, yeah.
And they're in two sides.
Well, they pulled the dad's feet out and they look like they were sawing the sun in half. I've been to... Anyway, so I saw a magic show, which I highly recommend. It was playing here for about 2 weeks at the Fisher Theater. It's on the road. It did a Broadway run last year, too, but it's called The Illusionists.
Mm-hmm.
And it's seven different magicians.
Yeah.
Here's the program core here, if you'd like to
peruse the... Wow. Peruse what's going on in The Illusionists. Good show. Real good show. I mean, it was a lot of what it was, you know, rather than having, you know, they all have their one specialty and then they would all do you want the Illusionist program?
Look at that.
Yeah. But it was a great show. And the guy that really, the one guy in the show is Jeff Hobson, who's great, who is like the Liberace of comedy, of comedy magic.
The Liberace of comedy.
He's
a big queer.
He's a big queer. No, he's hilarious though. Oh my God, Jeff Hobson. I mean, I can't even. There's a 4-minute sizzle reel of Jeff Hobson on his website.
This looks like a great show for people who don't enjoy comedy.
Here, let's see if we can watch some Jeff Hobson. See. Here, let me just.
Oh, there's nothing like a magic video for a radio show.
Yeah, well, just to give you. I mean, hopefully we get some Jeff. I don't know. Maybe this is not good for the radio. There's Hobson. There he is. Look at him. Come on. How funny is that?
Not at all. So he's a little bit of a...
He dances a little bit, yeah.
He's, as they used to say in the old days, light in the loafers.
Oh, yeah.
That's his act.
Great show, though, I'll tell you. All right, that's enough of this. Not giving away the whole Jeff Hobson show here on this show. No way.
No, man.
It cost me $93 to see The Illusionists. It was worth every penny.
You spend more money on shows.
Well, you know what? There's just a lot of stuff around. I really don't. Problem is, one thing is that when you want to see, like this is a Broadway show, basically, that those Broadway tickets are fucking expensive as hell. Unless you want to sit real far away or something, and it's tough. It's a small theater, the Fisher Theater. So, so I spent a lot of money, but I had a good seat. It was nice.
All right.
Nice. Go see The Illusionists.
There you go.
Shout out to Adam Trent, who was there as well. There's Adam.
Yeah.
Adam. He was kind of the host. He had some good stuff. So,
my cousin.
And the card guy in there, who's the South Korean guy. I can't even pronounce his name. The best card guy I've ever seen as far as producing cards and back palming and all this stuff. Amazing card guy. Best card guy I've ever seen do magic. Do the card stuff. Cool. And he was only did about 15 minutes of the show, this guy.
Yeah.
This Korean guy, but outstanding stuff. So anyway, go ahead. What's your cousin?
Card magic has got to get a little old, right? I mean, it's...
I think that's part of the appeal of this guy being on this tour is... You know, this guy is an expert in producing cards out of the air, and he produces whole decks and stuff, and they change colors. And you can't really do that for 2 hours. But in a show like this, where there's like seven guys, and they're all doing, you know, two or three tricks each, It's cool because you get to see the best guys in their various expertise. Like there's a guy who does escapes. He escaped from a straitjacket. Then he did the Houdini water torture thing. You know, so there's guys like that. One guy does his sawing a man in half routine.
Who's the
Kevin James?
Who's the cryptologist?
There's no crypto. Although no. Reading the press on this, the idea behind it was it would be the Avengers of magic.
Oh.
How gay is that?
This is the fruitiest thing.
No wonder they got Jeff Hobbs in there. This is a gay idea. Let's get Jeff Hobbs.
You know, Joel, I got to say, we went to Pride and talked to Mr. Michigan Leather.
Yeah, I want to do that again this year,
and
by
yet,
the way.
That was
up.
Somehow less queer than this illusionist.
By the way, I was, God damn it, if those shows, I should re-promote those like on Facebook and stuff. Because God damn it, it's not funny. If it's not funny when I'm talking to Mr. Leather Cowboy. Well, then there's just no comedy.
Mr. Leather Cowboy.
There's just no comedy in the world.
I forgot that we brought Mike Lundy with us.
Oh,
to
yeah,
Pride
the
Fest.
One year. Yeah, Mike Lundy.
So that I got to listen to those
again.
What
about Edith Uranus? I mean, all the legends we met on.
Oh, God.
What a show.
Oh, boy.
What a show. I think we did that 3 years in a row, and maybe by the third year it was kind of played out. So, but it's been a while.
It was a little played out.
It's
wasn't
been
there like a bear swim club?
Well, there was a bear football team. Remember that? And the guy was like, we're playing for the Michigan Bears. And then we had the Michigan Gay Chorus. We met those guys.
I think what happened is the second year we ended up in the drink tent, in the like booze tent.
The beer tent, maybe.
And that, it all fell apart after that.
I don't know if at all.
If you want to see some just annihilated lesbians just, just dancing to techno music in the middle of the afternoon.
That's probably the mistake. Mm-hmm. Lesbians are not never funny.
Well,
lesbians are not fun, generally speaking. I'm not saying never.
These girls I
take that back.
I'll tell you what. The girls in the beer tent were fun.
Well, yeah. I don't know. They were fun on the show.
No.
They were having their own fun. I just don't know if it was fun that you and I and our audience would enjoy.
We had fun in there, but...
it was all right. Well, maybe we'll go back this year. I'll look into doing it.
Well, maybe instead of going to Pride, we'll go to the Mr. Leather Cowboy pageant.
Well, I that was another bit that I always thought I could get. But, how do you pull that together? Mr. Leather.
Well,
I mean, you know, I'm sure they'll take any press they can get. But then it's like, hey, Corey, you got to go down to Mr. Leather. Like, why do I have a feeling that the night of the Mr. Leather Cowboy pageant that you would be unavailable to be reached that night? Why do I have a feeling that, I'll be over at 6. Yeah, we'll go down to Mr. Leather Cowboy.
I've been to drag shows.
I'm sure you have, but we wouldn't go to that.
Why don't we do Joel Radio Drag Bingo?
Oh, they do have Drag Queen Bingo here in Royal Oak. Mm. We could do that. But does that really, I don't know. It's just funny it's funny to interview the guys more than it is to I don't know if it translates to audio. Drag Queen Bingo.
Oh, before we get off,
I-65. I mean, is that going to be funny?
I really don't know what goes on at Drag Bingo.
I've seen it through the glass as I've driven past.
Yes.
But I wouldn't go in there.
That's right. You asked him to show it to you through the glass.
Hey, man, you gonna get a sample?
And he lifted his dress.
Hey, just give me a nut. Just give me a nut. Let one hang for me. Let one hang for me.
So, speaking of
not too fast.
Of something magical.
Yeah.
I was going to say my second cousin, Michael Barron.
Michael Barron
is a magician.
Oh my goodness.
And he apparently just signed a contract. Looks like he's going to be going the rest of the year.
Oh.
With Princess Cruises.
Okay, well that's cool.
So he's
going to
be
a good
like
gig
the
for a magician.
Resident magician on the Disney Magic Caribbean ride.
Then you've made it
if
you're a magician. That's you know, Vegas is probably the top.
Right.
If you can't do Vegas, cruise ship's probably the
next
best.
Well, we know Boat Comics.
Yeah. So, and that's a good gig for a comic. You know, Bill Hildebrand has done that. Keith Ruff has done that. Who's been on the show? A bunch of guys we know have gotten that gig. And
George Wallace, David Letterman's buddy, still on.
Still on the cruise ship?
Still doing both. I think he does.
He doesn't do Vegas anymore?
He probably does.
I think he does Vegas.
Yeah.
Mr.
Leather Michigan is on the cruise.
Well, that's a different cruise.
They have gay cruises.
I know they have gay cruises.
Yeah.
There's on Woodward Avenue, every Friday night, there's a gay cruise happening.
You drove to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I know.
You drove to Pittsburgh and ate a Chick-fil-A because...
because you can't get a
mirror. That's the fine dining that you've... You didn't go to Permonte Brothers?
Yeah, you know what? I guess I should have asked you, but what is on the Pittsburgh sandwich?
They put fries in the sandwich.
But I mean, I don't.
I know. I'm not actually a big fan of that.
No, but you. When we talk about, you know, toppings and condiments, I'm not a big fan of that. So I don't even think I want all that.
Well, you are.
Whatever is on there. So it would be lost on me. It would be lost on me, the French fry sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I eat Chick-fil-A. What are you going to do?
All right. As long as you absorb the native culture.
At Bob Evans.
Yeah.
For breakfast.
Right. You got
Chick-fil-A
that,
for
you got
lunch.
That authentic Pittsburgh flavor of Bob Evans. Oh, my God.
All right. Anything you want to, should we get into the TV reviews? You want to talk about Avengers? I guess I've already mentioned that. And that the world has seen Avengers now. I think everyone that's in the world that wanted to see it has already seen it.
I would imagine. Spoilers. So here's what happens in Act 5. No.
Well, first of all, let me just explain something before I ruin Avengers. Mm-hmm. Saw Avengers. I could not ruin it for you. Mm-hmm. And if you asked me to tell you what happened in Avengers, I'd go, some noise happened, some dudes flew around, and that was it. That's what happens.
Yeah, that's it's about what happened.
Yeah, it kind of is what happened. And
I did not see it in 3D. Did you see it in 3D?
I did. I saw it in Cinemark XD Digital, which is basically just a big giant screen, and it was 3D.
Okay.
I don't know the 3D. It was a 3D conversion, so I don't know how much you actually missed.
I could certainly tell that the opening scene when all that kind of slow-mo-y, when they're jumping in the forest, and they're kind of like, and they go into static poses, that seemed like it was very much made for 3D.
Sure, yeah.
But a lot of it you didn't really need.
I wish something like that, I think one of the problems with 3D for that is the movie was so goddamn long. Mm-hmm. And that's really probably my biggest problem with Avengers.
It's long.
Is that it doesn't really respect your time. There's not a whole lot of plot, and it just takes all day. I mean, it's 2 hours. Well, first of all, let me get to this. Let's start at the end.
Okay.
Maybe you didn't know any better. There's no end credit stinger at the end.
Did not stay all the way to the end.
There's no end credit stinger.
No, I was hip to that.
I was not hip to that because we had talked on the show, and Corey spoiled it, quote unquote, because it's not a spoiler, that there was a Spider-Man stinger at the end of Avengers,
which proved to be fake.
And I was the only fucking guy at the end. There was only 20 people in Avengers anyway.
Now, granted, you
it
were
was
in,
10 o'clock.
Granted, you were in Pittsburgh and had nothing else to do.
10 o'clock on a Tuesday on Pittsburgh, but there is a mid credit stinger, which I don't even know what the mid credit stinger meant, but I saw it. Okay. Which I won't ruin again. I can't ruin it anyway. I don't even know what the fuck it was.
I got to say that they really set the precedent for these stingers.
I'm glad.
They didn't really make. Okay.
The Avengers will return at the end, which is funny because I said James Bond used to do that and that was all we needed. And here it is in Avengers. And yet I'm sitting there with my thumb up my ass holding my pee.
They really set this precedent for stingers.
Yeah.
And then they don't do them anymore. You know, now they're like, well, we're not going to do big ones.
Yeah.
Because the mid-credit sequence is like the bad guy of the next one.
Yeah, I guess. That was like, the Avengers.
That's about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's not much to it. So there was a Spider-Man one that was leaked online, and it was a window washer.
Yeah.
Cleaning the windows of a building across the, from, you can see the Avengers Tower behind
it. Yeah, sure.
He's wiping down the window. It looked really good.
Yeah.
It was convincing. And he's slowly kind of wiping from right to left. And, you know, revealing and you see the Avengers Tower behind him as he's wiping. And then he gets to the other side, and Spider-Man is standing on the ledge of the next building. Yeah. And he's like, you missed a spot.
Okay.
That was the whole thing.
Okay.
And that was the teaser, which was apparently fake.
Oh, it's completely fake.
But it looked great.
Okay.
It looked really convincing.
Huh. All right.
So, you know.
Well, I was only annoyed because I did stay and I did, you know.
Okay, I don't like to get trailers or spoilers or any of that stuff, but I will on these superhero movies look up whether there's a stinger.
Yeah, I should in the future, I will.
Because
I will in the future.
Man of Steel date raped me with that. I sat through all 20 minutes of the credits for that bullshit movie. Man of Steel is not good.
Yeah,
is kind of bland as the Avengers 2 was.
Yeah,
better than Man of Steel.
Yeah, sure.
So I don't know. To me, the highlight
and
of
Man of Steel didn't have a stinger, or it did?
Did not.
Okay. Yeah, there's a website that'll show you. I forget what it's called, but I've looked it up before. if there's a stinger.
Well, now I go to the geek tip sheets. You know, I'm saying I check in with the comic book resources, and I find out if there's going to be a stinger.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to sit there. And
yeah, it's so much. God, I mean, Avengers is just one. Because
there's like 400 second unit credits, and there's all the digital effects by this team's digital effects.
Right. Fuckity. But my review of Avengers, you know, on the 5-finger scale, it's probably getting a 3-finger. I mean, it's passable. It's a good comic book movie. It's just too long, and I don't. You know, if you think you're gonna like this because you like the first Avengers, you'll probably like it. But don't go if you're just a guy who wants to see a good movie. I think you'll probably be a little disappointed.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
I'm kind of with you. I would maybe give it a 0.5 finger more. But
yeah,
it's
right.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
But I think the first Avengers was just more fun.
Well,
I think the script was a little sharper in the first Avengers, and the punchlines were a little better.
There was more of the heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And this one had a lot of, like, the villain who, mm-hmm. you know, the villain in this, without ruining it for anyone who hasn't seen it.
It's a robot James Spader. Thank you.
Without ruining it for somebody, as Corey ruins it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's not really a person there, and so it's sort of hard. Even though James Spader is good, it's sort of like, you don't really, even though, and then Loki was a stupid villain, you could say that, too, about the first one, but, you know, it doesn't really.
Yeah, but Loki, the Tom Hiddleston was good.
Yeah,
he gave a good performance. It was interesting.
It just, and then the other two new villains.
Yes.
You know, Aaron Taylor Johnson and
he's kind of
Elizabeth Olsen.
He's kind of not a good actor.
Well, I love looking at Elizabeth Olsen. Don't get me wrong.
She's cute.
But they had a lot of story about those two, and it was just like, oh, God. Fucking fuck.
Well.
Shoot
the
me.
Stuff that worked better in there was the when they weren't fighting.
Yeah.
When they were just hanging around. There's the party scene where everybody brings their one black friend.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
That's the scene from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Pretty much.
The best scene in Guardians of the Galaxy is when they were all sitting around talking. Not any of the fighting, not any of that stuff.
Well,
that was the
Guardians
scene that
Guardians of the
everybody...
Galaxy had more of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Too. I
yeah,
think
Guardians
was
of the Galaxy
more...
was better than Avengers 2.
I think that's
but,
why everybody liked Guardians, because it had more character stuff.
Yeah, and it's the origin story, kinda... so you could have a little more.
It was looser and weirder and fun.
Yeah.
And this one seemed like the Marvel bosses were like, but what about the, we must set up the Infinity gems for the next one.
It is, you know, again, that roadmap of 10 years of Marvel, I think, to me, is the bane, should be the bane of their existence.
Well, by year 7, if anyone else cares.
Well, that's the thing. They're either going to get to a point where nobody cares, and they're going to scrap it, and they're just going to do whatever they're going to want to do, or they're going to, you know, they're either going to go off of it and piss off the guys who want this 10 years of these movies, or they're going to try to go, oh, let's,
of course,
you know, be beholden to
I'm
it.
I'm sure somewhere there are James Bond purists who are like, who in 1972 were like, they're going to do this with Roger Moore, really?
Well,
they're going to keep this going.
Yeah, but I think with James Bond guys, I think there's guys who are going, there was a point when they stopped basing them on the books.
Mm-hmm.
And that might have even been into like the late 80s. It might have been into like Timothy Dalton, where they just went like, we're not going to base these on the Ian Fleming novels
anymore.
Well,
Ian Fleming died in like 1963, so they ran out of books.
Sure, yeah. But they were just, I think at some point they just went, yeah, we're done with this Ian Fleming shit. And there might be purists who go, okay, I'm done. And I think if Marvel said we're going to do stuff that's outside of what was in the... And even
all
of
their stuff already is.
It already is. But I think if you're going to watch a Marvel movie, to me, this was a slightly under Captain America the Winter Soldier.
That was better.
That was better than this. I guess Avengers 1, I don't think I really liked Avengers 1, although I saw it at the drive-in, so maybe that hurt it a little bit. To me, it's about a push with Avengers 1. I think Captain America 1 is still the best Marvel movie of this current run.
I think, although I didn't
see all the Iron Mans. I only saw the Iron Man.
I would say the first Iron Man is great.
Yeah.
And I would agree with you, the first Captain America is fun.
And the Thors
is very good.
I never saw the Thors.
The Thors are okay.
And even the Hulk is part of this, the Ed Norton Hulk, which was okay, but not really great.
I like the Hulk looks great in these movies.
Yeah, the Hulk does look great.
He looked really good in this one.
They got a real, like, they got his skin. Like, he's got, like, a 5 o'clock shadow in this.
They totally,
it's pretty creepy.
They totally digitally rebuilt the Hulk.
Yeah, the Hulk
looks
good in this.
But I think Ed Norton was probably better for the character than Mark Ruffalo.
Another complaint, and I know, and look, I don't think it hurts it, but some of the guys are looking real old.
Sure. Well, they're basically kind of hinting like
that there's a new generation of Avengers.
Downey's about out of there.
Yeah,
but the guys do look,
Downey.
Well, Downey's like 50.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Right.
And what's the name of the guy that plays Bruce Banner?
Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo. Those guys looked a little old. I mean, granted, they are old compared to, Thor and
Chris Evans is 10 years younger than them.
Yeah, so
funny because he's playing the guy from World War II. But, yeah.
But those guys are looking a little tired, a little old, as actors. So,
yeah.
I mean, I know X-Men, they sort of found a way to get rid of. Cut out some of the older staff.
Well, the problem with superheroes are immortal, yeah. And actors aren't, and you have to recast the stuff.
Yeah, but some of them just sort of look like, it's getting a little tired.
I'm with you. First of all, you're talking about not doing the comic stuff.
Yeah.
One of the characters, they establish a whole home life for him,
mm-hmm. yeah.
which has nothing to do with anything that's ever been in the
comics. And that was, by the way, let me just end without spoiling anything in who, like, even when you go to the farmhouse, it's death. Walking Dead season 2, mm-hmm. Avengers 2. When you go to the farmhouse, let's get everybody out of the city. That fucking shoots. You know, when you're trying to do action, when you're trying to do suspense, and you take people out to the country to get away from it all, it doesn't work.
Yeah,
that's what it reminded
I'll
me of.
Tell you
reminded
what, me of I will agree with you overall. I think this had some of the action set pieces were real good, and there was some fun moments in. You know, Cap with the motorcycle and all that was there were fun things in them, but it got to be a wearying spectacle.
Yeah, it just at the end, even like you're at the end and you're like, okay, this should be the greatest part of the movie, the end, but you're just kind of like looking at your watch going, how much more shit can blow up?
They've banged stuff off Captain America's shield.
Yeah.
That was a recurring bit where they're like, bounce this off it.
Yeah.
And that starts to get a little old.
It's fatiguing. The amount of, 2 hours and 20 minutes of this.
How much magic is fatiguing for you? How many card tricks? How many times can a guy pull a ball from somebody's ear?
Hey, The Illusionist was shorter than The Avengers.
Okay.
There you go.
Fair
How's that?
Fair enough.
How's that, fat nerd?
Fair enough. Look, but here's the sad part.
Yeah.
I am, as a comic book nerd who has been... I knew every, when I watch the Avengers, I know every, when people are like, well, who's the red guy with the cape? I'm like, that's the Vision.
Yeah.
I know exactly who everybody is and all the stuff, and I get all the references. I'm a little fatigued with it.
Yeah.
I'm a little,
too.
So don't worry. I don't know how people who aren't immersed in the
mythology with these,
can really keep up with these things.
And I think that's why everyone likes the origin story, is that there's more to the story. It's more of, it's less episodic. It's more of, it has a beginning, middle, and end, in a sense.
Yeah.
Whereas this Avengers, the Avengers ended, but now there's a whole, we're already on to the next one.
Yeah.
Which is going to be in two parts. They've announced
that. Yeah, but before that, there's Ant-Man.
Yeah, I know.
And then there's whatever. So.
And there's going to be something else before that.
And then there'll be Black Panther, who I thought was going to get a, I thought he was going to show up.
Now, what, the Anthony Mackie character...
Yes.
Who was he?
The Falcon. He was
in
Captain America 3.
Right, and he shows up at like the party,
and then doesn't. I know.
And then
they're
fighting, and where's this guy?
It was a fair question.
Yeah.
I thought that.
I mean, he's in the movie. I'm not saying he's not in the movie, and I think those guys, and maybe you know better than me, were those guys the Shield guys at the end? I mean, I guess it's a minor spoiler, but whatever. The guys that were working on like the terminals, is that who those guys were supposed to be? The guys from the TV show.
Oh, you mean, were they the cast from the show?
Was it the actual actors from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
No.
That were in there
Because, this is not a spoiler, Clark Gregg is not in it.
Okay.
Who was in the first Avengers and in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He wasn't in the movie.
Okay.
Whatever. There's like Colby Smulders as S.H.I.E.L.D.
She's in S.H.I.E.L.D. She's on the show, too, a little bit. Okay,
stuff's all terminally fucked.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
It's all confounding.
But I thought there was a deal, like, if you watched...
But like I said... There's a scene where they're like, they have a party and they're like, oh, we all brought our one black friend because Don Cheadle's there.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Who's Iron Man's best black friend.
Uh-huh.
And then Anthony Mackie is Captain America's best black friend.
Yep.
So they all just showed up to the party. You know?
Yeah. Anyway. All right, let's move on.
That would have made complete sense, but they did not do that.
Did you see anything? You see anything else at the theater? I mean, have you?
Ex Machina.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's been out for a few weeks.
It's been out for a few weeks, but eventually when that gets to streaming,
yeah,
which these days is not that long.
Probably be pretty soon, yeah.
Probably another month or so.
Yeah.
Check out Ex Machina. Excellent, excellent.
Yeah, that looks cool. I did, you know.
That was a real sleeper that just kind of snuck up on me.
Yeah.
It's Dom Hall Gleason, who is the son of Brendan Gleason.
Yes.
And Oscar Isaacs, who
Dom Hall Gleason in the excellent Frank.
Yes, he's in Frank, that's
which
right.
made me cry.
Well, didn't quite do that for me, but I thought it was an interesting.
Yeah.
I thought it was an interesting
Frank's
movie.
A good movie.
Frank is definitely worth. It's a Netflix.
Yeah, go watch Frank.
Check that out. Frank. Ugh, Frank. Ugh.
All right, keep going.
All right. Ex Machina, directed by Alex Garland. It's got Oscar Isaacs from. He's actually having kind of a year here. He's having he was in A Most Violent Year.
Mm-hmm.
He's in this. He's going to have a little film coming out in Christmas time.
Yeah.
A small independent film about a galactic empire in decline.
Yeah.
Star
Wars, The Force Awakens.
The Sith guy.
Episode 7. I think we're going to just skip that on the show.
No, we will not.
We won't cover.
No
yeah.
discussion.
I don't think there's any need for us to
Why
cover
bother?
That.
Why bother? I know.
We've ignored Star Wars for all these years. We don't really have opinions.
It's been.
We have really no opinion on that.
Nothing to say about
Nothing,
Star
not
Wars.
Not much to say about Star
Didn't
Wars.
Did they go off on a rant for
I
like
think we might have done an
20
hour.
Minutes.
But an hour last show on Star Wars on the trailer. But Ex Machina is good.
You know what? I've been bitching about the Star Wars trailer to so many people.
Yeah.
I forgot I did it on the show.
We did everything on the show. Now, Mad Max comes out this week. I think I'm seeing that. I think they got my money for Mad Max. How about you?
I'll probably check it out.
Yeah, Mad Max. Let's go see that.
Well, George Miller.
George Miller.
Or was it? No, I'm thinking.
George Miller. It's the director.
George Roy Hill. No.
It's George Roy Hill, but George Roy Hill is dead, and this is George Miller.
George Miller. Anyway.
George Miller directed the original Mad Max movies, and he's making this, too. And he made Happy Feet, which should give you lots of confidence in his ability to make an adult-themed action film.
Yeah.
No, but apparently all of the effects are practical in this, or most of them.
Pretty much.
Which sounds cruel.
There's got to be
There's
got to
be,
look,
but...
With all the sandstorms and stuff, there's digital stuff.
But I think the car stuff is all real, they're saying. And,
well, there you go.
I'm in. You got my money.
Yeah, he made Babe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Weird.
Well, guy's talented. What can I tell you? Babe was good. I don't know if I'm Happy Feet.
Witches
but Babe
of Eastwick.
Good. Yeah.
All right. An interesting career. And Lorenzo's Oil. He really did, outside of the Mad Max movies, he did some of the chickiest, Kleenex-y.
Yeah.
Weepies. Well, I mean, Jesus God.
Maybe Mad Max gets cancer and dies young. Maybe that's what happens in this one.
Yeah.
Maybe he copes with his feelings.
I don't think that's gonna happen.
I think Mad Max comes out of the closet in this movie.
I think Mad Max.
That's what I think happens.
Yes.
I think he goes to a Mr. Leather tournament
Mr.
somewhere.
He's Mr. Leather Apocalypse.
You're right. Exactly. Right.
And I believe he's gonna be sedate. Max.
They're chasing him down for his chaps. And that's
they
the movie.
They won't make chats.
Why not?
It's not water movie. They're fighting over. They're fighting over perfectly broken in chaps.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what they're looking for in the future.
Mad Max.
It does look intriguing. I unfortunately.
Yeah, why not? Let's go. What else are you going to see this summer?
Speaking of
bullshit.
Big deserts and enormous caverns.
Yeah.
The Pitch Perfect 2 is coming out.
Well,
and,
that is
Rebel Wilson.
That is, by the way, that is another. I told you on the phone last night that I was going to put together the Girl Channel. That's in heavy rotation. Pitch Perfect and its sequel.
I liked Pitch Perfect. I'm not going
to. I didn't see it.
I will not.
I didn't
sit
see
here
it.
And pretend I did not give a positive review to the film Pitch Perfect, which I thought was here's the thing: comedies have a low bar.
Yeah.
Mad Max is going to have a lot of things it's going to have to achieve for me to give it a passing grade or think it's good or stellar. And some people are raving about Mad Max and being like, it's one of the best action movies ever made.
It's getting good reviews already.
So I'm going to have to see it.
Yeah.
But a comedy is a fairly low bar, and that bar is, did I laugh?
Okay.
And Pitch Perfect got me. I laughed several times.
I'm going to come out and say, I have not seen Pitch Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not against seeing Pitch Perfect. I just haven't seen it, but I know from my own personal life and people that have told me that it was good, or Facebook mentions of it by people, I don't believe I've heard a male, a heterosexual male anyway, say anything about Pitch Perfect and that they liked it or that it was their favorite or any of that stuff.
Well, no guy is going to go. But see, that's sure. the thing. I was paid to go see Pitch Perfect.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I did, and I liked it.
Sure.
I don't think a guy who's not being paid to see Pitch Perfect is going to go out of their way to see it.
So, yeah.
Because it reeks of girls.
It's for girls.
It's got girl.
It's for girls. It doesn't mean you can't enjoy it as a man. It's for girls.
It's got a 3-day nature hike pussy funk all over it. It's got sloppy pussy juice all over it.
Fine.
But whatever, I thought it was funny.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe it's good. Who knows? I don't know anything.
All right.
We had a conversation off the air.
Yeah.
About if you would fuck Rebel Wilson.
Uh-huh.
And you said no.
No. Okay. Every man's
You're married. You can't marry. You can't fuck
Rebel Every man's Wilson. Got it. Well, who cares?
But your wife does, probably.
Every man's... Yeah, she doesn't.
Do you have... Okay, let me ask you
she
this.
She doesn't listen to the
Do
show.
You have a pass to fuck Rebel Wilson? Do you have an arrangement?
Probably.
Could you get that? Could you get that if you said, look, honey...
I probably could get a pass to fuck Rebel Wilson.
There's one woman in the world that I can get a pass. Yeah. You can get
your that would be
pass,
that would be because she knew I wouldn't take it. You know?
Yeah. I would... Here's my opinion on that.
I would not get a pass to fuck...
Okay.
You know, Jennifer Lawrence or Amy
Adams.
No,
that, they would
like
not...
That,
they would that not
would not...
That.
The pass would not be issued.
All right.
But Rebel Wilson, have all the passes you
want.
Well,
here's what I'll tell you 100...
In fact, there's a Groupon for Rebel Wilson.
Here's what I will do. I will 100% fuck Rebel Wilson.
I...
But let me explain.
I don't doubt that
explain.
For a
let
second,
Let me explain.
Sir.
Let me explain.
Will you call Big Sheila up?
Well, let me finish.
Double teamer.
Let me finish. I think I would fuck Rebel Wilson. Now, if you give me the Ferndale knockoff Rebel Wilson from Danny's Irish Pub, I probably don't fuck her.
You mean Outlaw Smith?
Whatever. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. I'm sure there's a chubby girl from New Zealand who kind of could pass for Rebel Wilson.
Sure.
But I think that I would not. You know, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's when you have the cachet of the fame, when you have the, Rebel Wilson seems like she might be fun, you know, all that stuff. Then
I'm sure.
You add that all in, and then I'm banging Rebel Wilson. But
are you getting a message from Rebel Wilson right now?
That was not. Hey, I heard you'd fuck me. I heard you'd like to have a little in and the out there, Mr. Podcaster Man.
Who is this? What is this character?
It's my Rebel Wilson. It's my Rebel Wilson. How it sounds exactly like her, then don't it?
Oh, you've nailed her. You've really gotten the essence. That's Dead Nuts On.
Well,
shit.
Well, you know.
Let's never do impressions again.
I was never a big fan of Corey Hall anyway.
Is that right? Anyway.
Isn't that a thing?
I mean, didn't you have a show for like a half hour, that Rebel Wilson?
Rebel Wilson had, what was the name of her show? I forget.
Was it like Date Night or Sex Night or what was it?
Fun Night? Something like that? Super Fun?
Super Fun Night?
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, that went away. But she was in the first big picture. She was in Bridesmaids.
Okay.
She had a little role in that. So people are like her. No, my point is that I'm not. I guess if it comes down to that, I guess it sounds worse when I say I would only fuck Rebel Wilson because she's famous, not because I'm in. But who knows? I don't turn down anything. I'm not gonna. I judge them all. I would have to get next to her. And see if maybe I would be turned on, Corey. Maybe my penis would be hard.
Yeah, I think that...
my penis might get hard.
Well, sure.
If she stuck her hand down my pants, I'm not saying
you
wouldn't have a reaction to that. I probably...
If you got two popsicle sticks...
I don't know. I don't know.
No, look. But would you fuck that hag Anna Kendrick? Because that's what's important to know.
Boy, those thin lips. I don't know if I could get behind that. No, of course you fuck Anna Kendrick.
Thank you. All right.
But again, Anna Kendrick, probably, like if you were in high school, that would be the prettiest girl in high school.
You know, right now.
And she's
one of our three female.
She's a Hollywood Six, right? She's a
Anna Kendrick?
Is she a Hollywood Six?
No, Anna Kendrick's a movie star, which means that she's like...
I'm saying a Hollywood Six.
She's like a Ferndale 20.
No, that's what I mean. I'm saying if she was in your high school, that'd be the hottest chick.
Yeah, and then... No, okay. It's like when you say everybody who's in the NFL, even like,
yeah,
I don't know, like what's a horrible Sage Rosenfels?
Right, yeah, a third string quarterback.
You know what I mean? Stoney Case.
Yeah.
Any guy who ever made it to the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, the Don Majkowski, the Magic Man. Right.
Right.
Any bad quarterback.
Right.
Was the greatest player in their high school.
The long snapper is way more athlete than you'll ever be.
Yes.
Yeah. And you're the punter.
Right.
The punter could beat you right, left, and center.
We have one.
Playing basketball or whatever.
I think we have one player that made the NFL in the last 20 years from my high school.
From Berkeley High, yeah.
Eric Morris, who was a safety.
Yeah.
And he was fucking phenomenal when he played for us.
Yeah.
So it's like, when it, whatever that guy is, whatever quarterback you're shitting on, you're like, this guy's terrible. You know, Josh McCown.
Yeah.
Josh McCown set every record
great
in
athlete,
high school.
Yeah.
I think that's the same way with like movie stars.
Yeah.
Maybe not all the time.
It's all the hottest chicks in the world get together and then.
Some people get lucky.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's obviously girls that are gorgeous and beautiful and don't have any acting talent.
Sure.
But Anna Kendrick, I think, is
And you saw, let's, okay, same thing. Would you fuck Anna Kendrick?
I would just have to say, I mean, really, let's be honest.
You'd have to.
All day, every day for
you
the
would,
rest of my
you
life.
Would.
I would
for
never,
the story alone, you fuck Anna Kendrick.
I would
you
never just, top stop tossing her salad. I would just literally.
That's farther than I would go.
I would put her in a shower and just lick her all day.
So you and I go to the bar. And Anna Kendrick and Rebel Wilson are sitting there. Are you saying we've already decided? Is that what the decision's been made?
I can't believe you're making... No, but all women are equal, beautiful,
no,
wonderful
unicorns.
No,
but that's fine. Look, if I was in a room, and if I was at the bar, and and Anna Kendrick and Rebel Wilson are sitting there, and Rebel Wilson seems like she's fun, and seems like she's into me, and Anna Kendrick is sitting there like a stick up her ass.
Yeah.
I'd take Rebel Wilson home, sure.
Well, look, now that's a different story altogether. What is the theoretical likelihood if Anna Kendrick and Rebel Wilson had to choose between us
you
two,
and I?
They had us two jabronis, and then they had Chris.
Well, I'll be Rebel
then they
Wilson.
Had Chris Hemsworth.
Well, the one
we're not getting fucked.
The one's got a bit more hair in his head than Nunny. The one with the spectacles, he's a bit.
And then there's the old nubby, greasy, gray haired man. As the Dago who smells like clown paint. Anyway, look.
By the way, Rebel Wilson went to the gathering of the Juggalos. on what's that show?
Was she
on,
afloat?
No, on Comedy Central. What's the show on Comedy Central with the three guys? The guys that work in the office? The sketch show?
Oh, Workaholics?
Workaholics, yeah. When they went to the gathering, they met a fat Juggalette, and it was Rebel Wilson. It was pretty funny. Actually.
Oh my God!
Yeah, Rebel actually played a Juggalette.
Well,
so I could go, I could chat her up that way. Hey, Rebel, I saw
she actually, I could see her as a Juggalette.
Yeah,
if you
she was good in that.
If you told her to stop showering and make bad life choices starting at about age 12, yeah.
Anyway, so
all right.
So okay. So wait a minute. Can I just, if you're keeping score on the feminism critique of Joel, this episode of Joel Radio.
Oh, yeah. We're getting
a failing grade. We
getting
took,
high marks.
It took us an hour to get there, but we failed
but
once
you know
again.
What? Let's be honest. Let's get real.
Sure.
Let's get real.
Let's get real.
Let's get
Come
fucking
on.
Real.
Let's go. Let's do
Let's
it.
Let's say
Let's do it,
you and Chris Hemsworth were at the bar.
Sure.
And let's say our three opinionated feminist listeners had an option between which gentleman's getting his dick sucked.
I see where you're going with it.
Right?
Sure.
So the next time, all you fucking Bella Abzugs out
there,
all you Shirley Chisholm, Fight the Power, you know, Gloria Steinem wannabes, when you're all sitting at home braiding your fucking grown-out 70s Angela Davis pubes, I want you to consider for yourself exactly how there's no chance in hell you wouldn't be sucking Chris Hemsworth cock.
That's true.
All right.
There you go.
Thank you.
Point.
False and phony.
False point made.
All right.
Point made.
But no way. I wouldn't even. I wouldn't fuck Rebel Wilson with Harry's dick.
Well, would you? Yeah. Okay. Let's move on. Let's move on to the next topic. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, let's just talk about some stuff. I guess some TV. This is streaming, but we can go back and forth. You know, we talked about Other Space last week, which is Paul Feig's new series, which is on Yahoo.
Mm-hmm.
That's very good. I finished the whole series. I watched all 8 episodes, and it was terrific. So go watch Other Space. And it's funny because I'd only watched the one, and I'd done it just on deadline that we were doing the show. And I said, all right, I'll watch one of these. I really feel like the show hit its stride in the second one. That maybe some of the technical and stylistic things that looked a little janky in the first one sort of seemed even out by the second one. They did a little more character development. You got to meet some of these characters and understand them a little bit better.
Yeah.
Which made all of the comedy that much funnier. And the whole eight is really great. And I'm going to say this. That's the funniest series since Parks and Rec came on.
Wow.
As far as laugh out loud funny. Because I know like Girls has come on since then, and I like Girls, and I like Togetherness. Hmm. And I guess Eastbound and Down might have come on since Girls, or maybe it was slightly before, and I like that too. I think for just pure laughing out loud as a sitcom, a half hour, because then you have stuff like The Inside, Amy Schumer, and that, which is a little bit of a different format. I think Other Space is the funniest series.
Now I haven't seen all of them yet. I've saw the first two
since,
and I enjoyed Other Space
since Parks and Rec.
I think Other Space is very good.
Yeah,
I would. I don't know about that contention because
no.
I would have to say there's other shows.
No, I disagree.
Like Veep,
didn't see it.
Okay, I haven't seen Veep.
Didn't see
Veep and Silicon. The HBO shows.
I've seen one of Silicon Valley, the debut of the show. And I haven't seen it since, and I think I'm going to start watching those again.
That's a great show.
And I'm sure it's a great show. I think Other Space, to me, because again, you know, with something like Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, which we reviewed, mm-hmm. which a lot of people like, though a lot of those jokes fell flat for me. In Other Space, I think pretty much every joke works. It's really good. It's got a great batting average.
I don't know about every
you
got to
watch more. You got to watch more.
I liked Other Space,
okay.
and I don't think you're... You're wrong in praising
cast. I like that. I think everybody in that cast is funny.
Yeah.
They're great comedic actors. They did, even though no one's really famous. I mean, I guess Joel Hodgson is
the most known. Yeah.
The most known, or the girl from the AT&T commercials who's in there.
Yes,
who's very good. Very good
playing good.
Bim and everything. It's good.
Well, there is the crewmate that was in the back deck. There is.
That guy too.
There's a semi-famous face.
We talked about the cameo. Yeah, we talked about that last time, and he's great on. But how great is episode two with him? And when they explain where he came from and what he's doing, that was ridiculously funny. I thought that was tremendous.
Yeah.
So I'm really big fan of Other Space, and it's a shame it's on Yahoo because, I mean, in a way, it's good that it's on Yahoo.
Well, and that's
that'll keep it going because no one cares about what
that's
it's doing.
That's the reason I haven't watched it more.
Oh yeah, that's a problem.
I have to go
too.
Watch it on my Xbox.
Yeah. Sure, yeah,
and it's kind of annoying.
Well, I can,
listen to the problems that a man, in 2015 has.
I gotta watch my fucking Xbox.
I gotta turn on my Xbox.
I watched it. My friend is a Roku.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we can watch there's a Yahoo app for the Roku, and you can stream it right on there.
Yes.
There you go. So I like Other Space. Now, you said
your friend Henry, the platonic friend that you go over and watch shows on your Roku with.
So Daredevil's on Netflix.
Feed Henry's cat.
Daredevil's on Netflix.
And in no way
have
an emotional relationship.
Corey's continuing to
when you watch.
No,
let's get
Daredevil
this
on Netflix.
What, where is Teddy?
No, there's nothing.
I need someone to pin you down.
Oh, fuck you. Tell us about Daredevil.
No.
You finished the series.
No, fuck you.
But Daredevil.
And you're my friend.
What did you mean, a friend
at camp?
Daredevil's
what?
At the bar.
I have proof of my domesticity.
There's
what
no
is
one,
you,
Corey.
Well, you're,
no one, I'm telling you about Other Space. No one cares about that.
This is a... I
only
swear
you
God.
Care. Move on to Daredevil.
There's
please.
So much drama in a comedy show, I swear. So much drama in the LBC. All right, I'm going to say, now you just made a bold statement about Other Space.
Sure.
Which I liked, and I'm not going to I don't know.
I've seen all eight episodes.
I would only challenge it in that I think there's some other really funny shows. Silicon Valley probably makes me laugh a little bit more on a weekly basis, but Other Space is good.
Yeah.
I would say this might be, we were just talking about it.
Yeah.
This might be the best Marvel product.
Okay.
Of the recent crop.
Yeah.
It's on par. It's in a different thing. It's a different vibe and a different tone completely. And I think that's what Marvel's starting to figure out and get smart about.
Yeah, maybe.
Is that they're superhero movies, but they have all kinds of other genres that they can do.
Yeah.
And in their history, Marvel has had a lot of horror characters
and all kinds
of other things to do.
Right.
Blade was really their first movie.
And the first Captain America was different in a lot of ways.
That was more of a
than
World
Iron
War
Man.
II
but Iron Man thing. Has sort of been the prototype for those movies.
Yes.
And I think at this point, that's caused a lot of weariness. Right. Amongst, that they're all
well, we've just
have
seen,
that Iron Man tone to
well,
them.
But the Guardians of the Galaxy was
yeah,
more.
Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy was different.
Was
okay,
more
yeah.
of a sci-fi yeah, space okay. opera. So this one feels like Daredevil on Netflix, which is their first Netflix series, mm-hmm. Feels more like a police procedural or like a. It's got a little bit of Wire vibe to
okay,
it.
Yeah.
It's got a little bit of Law and Order
yeah.
kind of vibe to it. I mean, it's not as. It's maybe not on the level of an HBO show. It's not like Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
But it's really, really.
Yeah, I'm going to start watching this, I think. But you saying it is actually like you. It's more crime fighting.
It's street level. Guys get punched and they got. Like, he never punches a guy once.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe a guard or two he'll knock out yeah. with one shot. But right. it's generally like punishing, bruising fights. The fight choreography is excellent in it.
Okay.
The I kind of watched that and I went, this shit you could only see in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Like 15 years ago, there was nobody in America that did yeah. fights this well. There's one fight in episode 2 that's like the signature piece.
Okay.
Where he just demolishes like 10 guys in like one long shot, and it kind of they trick it a little bit because he comes in and out of rooms.
Yeah.
But it's like this hallway that he just demolishes 10 guys in a row in. It's really well done. I mean, there's a couple episodes where it lapses a little bit in the middle. But Vincent D'Onofrio is the kingpin who's the big villain. Mm-hmm. And he's brilliant. It's really great bit.
Yeah, go ahead.
Boy, their phones are blowing up.
The phones are blowing up. We're doing the show later than we normally do. And I don't know if that's...
Yeah, yeah.
causing all of this nonsense, but okay.
Well, I'm getting calls. You're getting calls. We're popular people right
well,
now.
Well,
why? I have no idea. Because all we do is sit around
oh,
and
minute.
Watch goddamn.
No,
other
let
space.
Me listen to this voicemail. I'm sorry. Let me just. Can I listen to this real quick?
Yeah,
I'll play it back on the air right here. Hey Joe, it's Rebel Wilson.
Is that what it is?
I really looking for that big willy you've got.
Okay.
Why don't you come over yeah, to the set and shake? Give me a shag there, baby. Will you?
Oh, Austin
yeah,
Powers called.
Right, right.
Oh.
Right. Okay. Bring a Vegemite sandwich over.
You bet.
Have a road into hay.
Have a Vegemite.
I
Vegemite.
Want to destroy the
She's
Outback
Australian,
like
right?
Mad Max.
What are you doing now?
I
have no
to,
idea.
I want to.
Oh, God. What do you
gonna... I want you to explode
oh.
like an oil barrel
Is that really?
On the set
uh-huh.
of Mad Max mm-hmm. inside my vagina. All right, are we
your
done vagina? With? Are we right. done with? Are we done with it? Yeah, so I'm going to check out Daredevil. Everyone likes that, and everyone says,
well, you know, and the way they did Daredevil, it they really, you know, he's not even in the costume till late in the show.
Okay,
because and they explain the reason why he needs a suit.
Okay.
It's basically body yeah. armor.
Well, I never saw that Daredevil Ben Affleck movie, so I
well,
guess
you're better
I
off.
Think I'm better off, so this will be fresh to me. It'll be nice. Okay.
You're better off.
All right.
So I think that show has really actually got a lot going for it. It's really well done,
mm-hmm.
and it plays like a really good crime thriller. So it's got a good cast. Rosario Dawson's in there.
Yeah.
Deborah Ann Woll, who's from True Blood, is in there.
Okay.
Like I said, D'Onofrio.
And it's the guy from Boardwalk Empire is the star.
Yes, Charlie Cox.
Charlie Cox.
Vonda Curtis Hall is in there.
All right.
So it's a really good cast and really well done, and that's the direction I think Marvel ought to be doing with
yeah,
their stuff.
We'll see.
There's little nods and winks to
yeah.
the bigger universe, and sure. they kind of mention, like, there's newspaper headlines that show that the Avengers happened.
Yeah, okay.
But you know what I mean? But that's
yeah.
far away from what we're at.
Absolutely.
We're on street level, mafia,
yeah.
like, crime lord stuff, and it's pretty well. It's a really, really well done. Little Sidney Lumet vibe to it.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll try to check that out. Now I watched a show. Showtime has a new series called Happy-ish
uh-huh.
with Steve Coogan, and I watched that. Now this is apparently was a Philip Seymour Hoffman project.
Okay.
And I guess they even shot the pilot for this with Philip
with
Seymour Hoffman before Philip Seymour Hoffman died. So, yeah, they Steve Coogan came in, and they must have changed some things because Steve Coogan's British, and I don't know that really ever comes up in the series, but it's sort of, you know, I don't know. I feel like this really was written for Steve Coogan more than, but I guess I could have seen Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Now they
this.
Must have
know.
Done some.
They must have
reworking.
Done some. They must have done something to it to retool it. And Catherine Hahn plays his wife. Steve Coogan plays an advertising executive who has a wife and a young son, and he's sort of he's frustrated with his midlife. It's a lot like Togetherness, actually, in terms of its theme, where, you know, it's about a couple that's together.
It's about a cunt.
It's about yeah. No, it's about a Catherine Hahn is not a cunt on the show, but no, it sort of thematically feels like that.
No, I love Catherine Hahn.
Catherine Hahn's good. Yeah, she's been on a bunch of stuff.
If I could get a free,
there you go.
If I could get a free pass for Catherine Hahn,
that Catherine Hahn, you'd take the free pass.
I would
for.
Take that in a minute.
Okay, all right, there you go.
That's an age right. appropriate.
Anna Kendrick, Catherine Hahn, Rebel Wilson,
all three. I'll take the whole.
No, I mean if you had to.
Oh,
one take one
at a time.
Take one.
Well. I'm going to go Catherine Hahn.
Catherine Hahn all the way. Okay.
I mean, Anna Kendrick, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But, you know my type.
Sure, anyway. Catherine Hahn. All right.
All right.
So she's good in it, and the other actors, the guy, what's his name? Shit. You can look it up. He was on a big series. Who plays Steve Coogan's boss. He was on, what show was he on?
Old Man,
no,
look at your brain.
You know what, I was never
some cocaine time. It's time for some intelligence for your life.
Do you want to talk about intelligence for your life?
We'll get to that.
Oh, my fucking God.
We'll get to those assholes in a minute.
The guy, Bradley Whitfield, I think his name is. Is that
Brad Whitfield.
Brad Whitfield, there you go. He plays Steve Coogan's
there
boss.
Sure.
And it's... Here's the problem with the show, I think. Alan Barkin has a little role in there as well. I really, really like Togetherness, and that this thematically is basically the exact same thing. You know, middle-aged guy's frustrated with his job, has a wife and kid. Him and the wife can't seem to get it together sexually, that kind of stuff. To me, I think Togetherness did this a little bit better. Happy-ish seems like it's very wordy. It's very sort of actorly. It seems like they're, you know... There's a lot of, like, screaming at each other, maybe for no reason. I'm going to give it a shot. I'll watch another one. I just watched the first one, so it's sort of a mediocre review right now. I mean, I've warmed to Steve Coogan over the years.
I love Steve Coogan.
I know you do love Steve Coogan, and I think I loved him in Philomena. And I think in The Trip and The Trip 2, I was kind of like, well, I like him, but I'm kind of annoyed with him.
Well, he's playing in those movies, in The Trip.
Yeah.
He's playing a more assholish version
Of himself.
Of himself.
Yeah, yeah. And 24 Hour Party People was good, and, you know. So,
I'm an Alan Partridge fan. So,
I'm not, but I like Steve Coogan, and so I was excited to see him in this, and I thought, geez, a Showtime series with Steve Coogan, I'm down for that.
I'll tell you what.
And it just was okay. I'm going to give it another shot, and I'll give you an update. But they're only three episodes into the run, so they got a lot left. It's on right now on Showtime.
The first version of Alan Partridge, which was like the talk show itself.
Yeah.
The later, you know, it became behind the scenes when he became a radio DJ.
Okay.
But when he had his own, the TV was a parody TV show. You know, it was a parody talk show. That was created by Armando Iannucci, who's the creator of Veep. Very funny stuff. I like that guy.
Oh.
Very sharp writing. They say stuff like, I believe it was Edgar Allan Poe who said, you're a really shitty campaign manager. Just shit like that. Yeah. It's like funny put downs.
There's a lot.
I blew that line.
There's a great thing about, there's a great anime. There's an animated sequence where, you know, he's the account rep for Keebler. And there's a scene where the Keebler elves come to life in animated form, and Coogan is talking to them, and that was probably the funniest scene in it. So, and I don't know if that's something they're going to do every week, like work in animation into it. But that I thought was pretty funny, and I thought worked pretty good. So, happy-ish.
It's
worth a look. And the problem with all these shows is that all of these shows are going for A-list actors, high quality scripts, and it seems like even with all this talent. That sometimes you just swing and you miss, and it doesn't work.
Well,
and with this might be a miss more than a hit.
With all of these series and all of these, what was the show with Harry? Not with Harry Shearer, with Hank Azaria, that was on Showtime a couple of years ago.
Oh God, I never saw it.
That was very close to being good.
Yeah,
Showtime will occasionally get one that whiffs a little bit.
Sure, yeah.
HBO
whiffs too, but it's
they whiff less frequently.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah,
they have a better on base percentage.
Yeah,
it's a golden age of television.
It is.
If you really look at all the platforms, all of the stuff that's available, all the stuff that streams, stuff like Netflix, with the Daredevil on Netflix, which is a show maybe HBO would put it on, but it's really terrific and works well
on
what it does.
And Netflix has original stuff that they don't even promote, like Orange is the New Black and stuff. Like, they have shows that are just on that.
Speaking of shows, which I only saw the pilot of, but Bloodlines.
Yeah, I think that's the one that
has a big cast of, like...
And it's like an hour-long drama,
And it's like, you know, Sam Shepard and Sissy Spacek and Kyle Chandler. What's the guy from
Friday
Night Lights? The
guy from Super 8, yeah.
Yeah, Kyle Chandler.
Kyle Chandler.
So, I mean, it's a big cast of well-known people.
Yeah.
That might end up on your mythical...
How was that?
Chick flicks.
Is it for girls?
Your Netflix for girls streaming.
Is it for girls?
It's a little bit, you know...
Okay. But, you know, House of Cards was great when I saw it. I mean, I'm so far behind. I don't think there's any point in me catching up with House of Cards.
House of Cards, I think, obviously Orange is the New Black is on your chick flicks.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Unbreakable.
Throw that on there.
Transparent.
I thought Transparent was good and not just for girls. I didn't follow up with Transparent after the first one, but that is something I need to see more of. Okay.
But, you know,
how many Transparents did you watch?
Four, five.
And you thought it was for girls?
I think it's a really well-done show, it may be a little for girls. Brad Whitford is in that, too.
Okay, there you go. And that is the thing. And how many of these shows is, like, Katherine Hahn in? Between girls there's sort of people that...
But, you know, about 10 years ago, everybody... Well, maybe this always used to happen.
Yeah.
You'd see a lot of... I mean, if you watch TV in the 60s, if you watch, like...
Sure.
Route 66.
Yeah.
They're doing a marathon of, like, leading up to this. There's a channel called Decades.
Okay.
That's launching, which is reruns.
Yeah.
And they're doing, like, blocks of them.
Sure.
And they were showing the Route 66 marathon.
Yeah.
And you watch one, there's Jack Warden.
Yeah, absolutely.
You watch another one.
Sure, yeah.
There's Russell Johnson, who played the professor on Gilligan's Island.
Yeah.
Like, there were 60s. There was only so many actors.
There were guys. Well, that's you know, and I think we talked about this on the phone, and I don't know if we talked about it on the show, but... You know, Fantasy Island and The Love Boat were, you'd see all those guys come in for one episode.
Mm-hmm.
All the old Hollywood guys that
were
still alive.
There's probably 50 actors that they trust with everything.
Yeah.
And they're a cycle. And some people, I don't think there's been a African-American comedy made in the last 10 years without Mike Epps. I'm pretty sure he's been in every one.
Probably, yes.
I mean, most of them.
Well, we may now move to Kevin Hart, but Mike Epps was the guy.
But I mean, and he wouldn't even be the star.
Yeah.
He'd be, Uncle Leroy's here. Yeah, and it'd be Mike Epps for 5 minutes or let's go to the pool shark or whatever it was. Mike Epps would do his little bit.
Uh-huh.
So Katherine Hahn, why not use her? She's funny.
Okay.
She's versatile. She can do a lot of different stuff. You know, there's some comedy actors that are like that. Where they're in every, you know, Tom Lennon.
Yeah, sure.
Is in like everything because he's always good at, you know.
He's always good.
His little bits.
All right. So happy-ish. Let's move on to HBO, which had the Kurt Cobain documentary, Montage of Heck. I'm a big Nirvana fan. I've read most of those Nirvana books.
Yes.
I was excited to see this. A lot of the appeal and the way that this was marketed was the never before seen footage and never before heard demos of Kurt Cobain. I thought that that stuff was interesting for a minute, but wasn't real. There wasn't anything in there that was, like, amazing as far as new footage. Some of the behind-the-scenes stuff from Unplugged I'd never seen, you know, where he was talking between takes and that. As a whole, I think the only thing, and I will recommend this movie. It's a little too long. It's 2 hours and 10 minutes, roughly. I think it's a little too long. It's basically the length of the Avengers, which is too long. I think that the problem with this is that it's really not about Nirvana. It's really about Kurt Cobain as a guy.
Yeah.
And I think that's the negative of it is a lot of, because they do a lot of this stuff where they don't really play you the real Nirvana song. They play you some cover song, you know, some string version of it. And I guess, you know, and they do play, and they do end up playing Smells Like Teen Spirit over the end credits and stuff. But during the bulk of the film, they sort of use this like alternate version of it, and I think it's sort of it doesn't give enough respect to the music.
They had concert footage.
They did, but what I'm saying is I think that Nirvana's importance is more musical than it is Kurt Cobain as a personality.
So you're saying they didn't have... Now I'm thinking about...
No, they had the rights to the music. I'm not saying they didn't have the rights to the music, but they made decisions editorially not to use... Where, you know, when they're talking about Smells Like Teen Spirit and they're showing the outtakes of the video shoot, they're playing this orchestral version of Smells Like Teen Spirit and not the version that we know. And I thought that, I think the problem with, I think because I lived that, I lived through yes. Nirvana, to me, they were very important in a musical revolution sense. It was the most important breakthrough since the Beatles in the sense that it changed everything. As much as punk rock in the late 70s wanted to change everything, I don't think punk rock succeeded. But I do think Nirvana and grunge really did succeed in sweeping the hair bands under the rug. And in changing and getting rid of a lot of the, you know, the Michael Jacksons and that kind of pop stars and the Milli Vanilli and all that shit. And a lot of that went away. And it didn't stay away, but it went away for a while. And it introduced, and certainly the bands that followed in the wake of Nirvana and Pearl Jam were bad third generation copies of it, and they sucked.
Stone Temple Pilots.
Well, whatever. I don't think they're a third generation copy. We've talked about Stone Temple.
They're a second generation copy.
But I thought that those bands,
here's one we can agree on.
Well, like Candlebox,
Bush,
and Puddle of Mud, and Bush. Okay, all those things.
Fuck them.
Those things were bad. So I think that the movie, to me, the importance of Nirvana wasn't Kurt Cobain as a guy and as a drug addict and all that
Nickelback.
Stuff. I think the most important thing that Nirvana did was musical, and I didn't think they gave the music enough of a showcase. I would have liked to have heard more about how the albums were made, and even though there's been documentaries about that stuff.
That's your personal peccadilloes.
It is, because I think this tries to be kind of a woe-is-me thing, or, oh, what a waste of a life this guy could have been.
Yeah, that's what it was.
A genius. But to me, I think it made for a less good movie. I still recommend
it. I would say that I felt the same way. You're right. It did feel, first of all, this stuff's 20 years old.
Yeah.
25 years old.
Sure.
And to me, it felt fresh. It felt still when they were like playing on stage and stuff, you know, when he was wheeling out in the wheelchair.
Yeah, Reading 92. Yeah.
All that stuff felt really just primal and raw.
Well,
and
it's great when you see it, you go, wow. And because you could remember being, even if you weren't at that particular show, you remember what those shows were like in that era. And
okay, I guess the difference with this documentary on, like, say, you know, if you watch like Gimme Shelter or you know, the Beatles anthology, we lived through this one.
Yeah.
And we remember not just what, you know, I remember when they played that New Year's Eve show on MTV and he was wearing the white shirt with the hearts on it and all that stuff and the wind was blowing in his hair. Yeah. All that stuff. I remember all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like it was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And we also remember what people actually thought about them and felt about them.
Yeah.
And I remember when, like, the fucking girls in the drama club that weren't into music were like, have you heard this song?
Sure, yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like, of course I heard that song, bitch. I have fucking Bleach.
Yeah,
I've
exactly, already,
I've been into these guys for a year and a half. Where have you been? And because I was a dickhead that was like, oh, the Melvins and the Mudhoney.
Yeah, but I think the movie sort of missed that it was a revolution, and I think that the movie...
Or at least I had friends that were into the Melvins.
Yeah, sure.
So
I mean, you know, like you knew what Sub Pop was before Nirvana came out. You know, you knew.
Yeah.
So
not long before. I mean, I'm not going to say like,
well, Nirvana,
I was there in 89.
And this is one thing you get from reading the books. And I read the two of the big Nirvana books, the Evertrue book and the Charles Cross book, which are both really good. And I read that book, Everybody Loves Our Town, the Oral History of Seattle.
Yes,
and stuff.
I read that.
And those things all, you know, Nirvana was the first Sub Pop single. Was Love Buzz by Nirvana. So they really came up together, you know, in that sense. But yeah, I mean, I also, the other thing that came off is, I don't think that behind the scenes footage, and to their credit, you know, to Courtney Love and the family, I think Kurt came off as real dick in a lot of that stuff, because they were the guys that were like the anti-celebrities, you know, Nirvana and Hole and that whole scene. And in every fucking clip, him and Courtney Love are talking about their press and Sassy Magazine and Vanity Fair, and it just seems like they were really, because that is something you read about Kurt Cobain in the books, that there was this dichotomy about he didn't want to be famous, and yet he wanted to have the biggest song in the world, and he wanted, you know, he wanted to be a superstar, and yet when it came to it, he was reluctant. And I think they came off as sort of petty in some of those clips.
Ultimately,
and
I felt the same way as I did then.
Yeah.
I was embarrassed.
You're embarrassed?
I was a little bit I was ashamed that people let him get away with it.
Well,
I was ashamed of the guy that had everything in the fucking world, who had, you know what I mean? Who had,
well,
the level of fame and success they were, and I understand that it was about they were in the oven of fame, and he was not prepared for it, and he was just a kid from Aberdeen that had felt an outcast his whole life. There's a great line where Courtney says he wasn't aware that he was better looking than Brad Pitt.
Okay, yeah.
And I don't think he was.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think he was better looking than Brad Pitt. I don't think he was aware that he was. That he ever got
to my thing
outside of himself.
Nirvana and grunge always were like, hey, Guns N' Roses are assholes, and we're Nirvana, and we're not assholes. We're regular guys, and we're cool guys, and they're all drug addicts. Meanwhile, Kurt Cobain was the biggest fucking drug addict on the planet. Kurt Cobain cared every bit as much about his press as Axl Rose did.
Well,
Kurt Cobain, I mean, he made better music than those guys. Okay, I'll give you that. Look, the Nirvana can fucking warrant in all those bands. He put them out of business, and that was a great thing. But I think that there was a righteous, a self-righteousness to Nirvana that now is phony.
Well,
and now comes off as fake.
I'll tell you what. I am certainly self-righteous.
Yeah.
And I feel the same way. But what I found is kind of entertaining is now that I'm old and we've lived a lot longer than Kurt Cobain, it seems silly.
Yeah, it seems petty at the
time. It seems childish and petty and self-involved.
If Kurt Cobain was alive now, he'd be a giant. You know what I mean? He'd be a huge act.
Yeah.
I mean, look at how big Foo Fighters are and Pearl Jam still are
right.
And all these guys. And even these, you know, even the bands that, like I said, those third generation bands, they're still all touring. I mean, he would still be a very big star. I could see him in he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame being dead. He would have been if he was alive. You know, he would be revered and he was a great artist. And that does come across in the movie. I think that is the other thing that you do hear that even from there. And I knew that already. But if you didn't know that, Nirvana was not a band that was a one hit wonder.
No.
All that stuff, even like to me, when I listen to Nirvana, I generally listen to Bleach. For whatever reason, that's like them at their most raw and his screaming is the best. The guitar playing is the best. The songs aren't as melodic as the other albums. But to me, that one is them doing that, you know, being loud and noisy.
I love Heart Shaped Box.
No, I like all those. I'm saying to me, Bleach is them at their purest, angriest. That's what they did better than anybody.
I kind of, after he died, I kind of had this like feeling like fuck those guys.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah.
And I sort of did not listen to their music for a long time.
Right.
I couldn't bring myself to. You know, I sort of like to avoid tragedy.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I mean, there was a point where I stopped reading Kennedy stuff
because
it just made me sad.
Yeah.
You know, and I read a bunch of Kennedy conspiracy stuff and Kennedy biographies and stuff about him, and I just kind of, it bummed me the fuck out. And that's how I felt about Montage of Heck.
Yeah.
I thought it was, he had that baby and he had all the money in the world.
Sad. When they're all strung out and they're trying to comb the baby's hair and stuff.
It's ridiculous.
Came off just sad. The animation stuff, that the tape of him where he talks about losing his virginity, I thought that was very well done, that animated sequence.
I thought the whole movie was well done.
Yeah, it was well done.
But the guy who directed it, Brett Morgan, is a dickhead who's been giving dickhead interviews.
I've seen and heard his interviews. He's
so full of himself.
He does come off as a dickhead.
He made a movie about a pompous dickwad.
Yeah.
And he echoed that behavior.
Well, maybe that's what Kurt Cobain needs, though. Maybe he is more properly shown in this. Because that's the other thing. I mean, I guess you don't like Kurt Cobain as much after you watch this, but maybe that's what his legacy should be.
Well, you know what? Okay, Kurt Cobain died at 27 years old.
Yeah.
And, yeah, maybe he does need to get some shit.
Yeah.
Because he fucked it all up.
Okay, here's the thing.
There's no proof that he wouldn't be Axl Rose now.
No, well, yeah, you know, but there's, I mean, no, there's,
he could have gone into a cave and disappeared. He could have,
but he could be Dave Grohl, who's considered America's great rock star. Right. You know, that's 20
Tom
years.
Petty.
Yeah. Okay. Now, this movie, you might disagree with me on this, but I think I'm right on this, and I think I know enough. The movie Imagine John Lennon, which came out in the very late 80s. I think it came out in like 1987, okay. 1988. Was such a whitewash and such an unrealistic version of who John Lennon really was. That to me is sickening. And I really thought that this movie might be that, and I'm glad that it wasn't.
This was warts included.
This was, because I thought Imagine John Lennon was too phony and too much not who John really was.
After Let It Be, the Beatles all got very image conscious about letting filmmakers make a movie about them.
Right. Well, but there was the thing about, the bed-in and the peace movement and how much John Lennon was involved in all that. And it is true that he wasn't all that, but he swore all that off before he died. You know, he was not actively all of those peace movements that John Lennon was associated with. He disavowed himself of all that stuff before he was, before he was shot. So, but Yoko likes to hold on to, that is John's legacy, is this legacy of peace and nonviolence.
He didn't really disavow himself, but he wasn't as politically.
Well, he gave interviews where he said he was disillusioned with that, and certainly that could have been a passing thing, and he could have gotten right back into it. And I'm not saying that he ever,
it's interesting because I just listened to Mike Nesmith on the Gilbert Gottfried podcast, and the relative merits of that interview I will not discuss at great length.
I haven't heard it yet, so I'm going to have to.
Well, it's Mike Nesmith gives long-winded answers. But he said basically he was friends with John Lennon, but wasn't ever in the inner circle because Mike wasn't as politically intense as John. Mike couldn't get to the revolutionary level that John was at the time.
Yeah.
And he just felt like they were friendly, and John would have him over to the house and stuff like that. And he was like, we were friends and got along and kept up with each other. But he couldn't match that intensity of, and I think that all went away in like the mid-70s when he started.
Yeah, I don't think anyone, could keep up with
that. I think he might have burned himself out.
I'm getting off the
topic. Cobain didn't have, unfortunately, a coherent political aspect to his stuff other than.
No.
Fuck Reagan.
But he was also a feminist, and this is described in some of the books about, what a feminist he is, and then he left, and it's in the movie, he leaves that voice message threatening to kill Lynn Hirschberg, Vanity Fair, and they're like, what kind of, and he calls her a cunt at one point, it's in the movie.
Well, you know what?
And, but everyone is complicated, let's be honest. I mean.
Who isn't?
Yeah, I know. We're complicated.
Who isn't?
I know.
You know the one guy
I know.
The one guy I feel like I've read books about who I don't see that much of a bad side to, Jackie Robinson. It's about the one guy who
seemed like
a solid straight shooting man who just took the burden that was placed upon him. But like, there's very few that I ever read a biography and go, well, that guy was wonderful and never did anything wrong.
Sure. Well, that you'll have to write that about me when I die.
Yes, yes.
Please that about me.
Please. What will the Joel Fragamenti tombstone read?
He was a good lay, that one. No, that won't say that.
He fucked me crumpets off. All right, look.
He fucked the pounds off me.
No. You'd have to be. That would have to be another individual. All right, is there anything else we can discuss in this?
Well, speaking of Jackie Robinson, I can segue into No No, which is a documentary which you can see on Netflix about the life of Doc Ellis, who was famous as a baseball pitcher who pitched a no-hitter on LSD.
Nice.
And you can see this on Netflix. It was considered one of the better documentaries of last year. I didn't get a chance to see it till it went on Netflix recently.
Who would not enjoy that?
Look, I like sporting documentaries. I like HBO Real Sports. I like the ESPN 30 for 30 series. This is pretty much keeping in that theme. The problem with Doc Ellis's life is that, the movies are probably a little too long. Like, I know I'm complaining about everything being too long, but this guy was pretty crazy. You know, he was a 70s baseball pitcher, which really, if there's anything that, nothing entertains me more than hearing about 70s baseball pitchers. Because they really were a crazy bunch of
motherfuckers. Well, there was Bill Spaceman Lee.
Well, they're just all the Necros and fucking Catfish Hunter and all those guys. They were all really crazy. Like, baseball sort of lacks that now. You get a guy like a David Wells that comes out, and then people go like, oh.
Raleigh Fingers.
Yeah, but all those guys in the 70s, the baseball pitchers, were all a little nutty. And Doc Ellis was crazy. You know, this guy was completely on drugs, smoking pot, drinking beer. You know, I guess he took acid. He took acid and like he grew up in Los Angeles. And when I think it was the Pirates went out to San Diego to play, he decided he would visit the old hood. So he went back to South Central and dropped acid with his buddies. And then they called and said, look, we need you in San Diego to pitch today. So he had to get on a bus or something and go down to San Diego and pitch while he was on acid. And apparently he put like 9 guys on base. He like walked 6 guys and hit 3 guys, but still got the no-hitter because, you know, they got defensive outs and stuff. So, and he also famously like he was playing the Reds and he didn't like the Reds for one reason or another. So he hit the first 5 batters.
Oh, good.
In the first inning, he plunked the first 5 guys, including Pete Rose. And they yanked him from the game, and
what will happen to the 30 for 30 series? This is not one of them, but what will happen to the 30 for 30 series now that Bill Simmons is leaving ESPN?
I don't know. I mean, he doesn't have anything. He doesn't those.
Well, it was his.
He championed the idea, but I don't. You know, they're all produced by different people. It's not like there's one team making all those. But yeah, No-No's really good. You should watch it. And then it does get into at the end of his life, he was, you know, a drug counselor and he repents and, you know, his wife talks about how he beat the shit out of her and stuff. So I wish it would be a more entertaining tale of the actual no-hitter, which takes up about 15.
But that's not when people do the
stories. Yeah, I know. I know. What it's a redemption story.
You just underlined a thing.
Yeah.
I was looking at a list of some guy rated all of the Major League Baseball uniforms.
Okay.
And he generally, the theme that emerged was he didn't like alternate jerseys.
Okay.
And he would shit on people for having too many alternates.
Okay.
And I went, well, that's your problem. You just don't like the alternate. You know what I mean? You want,
what does this have to do with Doc Ellis?
No, you want every jersey to be white or gray.
Okay.
And your complaint about all this stuff is that they don't do a straight-ahead story. They delve into the personal aspects of
Well, I just think I think
which
that
I agree with you. That is what most people will gravitate towards.
Yeah,
you and I are more interested in the who's, what's, when's, and why's.
Well, I just
and a lot of people want girls want an emotional.
Yeah, yeah,
story.
No, I get what you mean, but to me, I think that story about pitching a no hitter on acid is funny, and I'd like to watch a show that's just about that. And not be mired in drug addiction and all that stuff.
Yeah, but people love that.
Yeah, I know. But
that's why people love Montage of Heck.
Yeah, I know.
They wanted to watch
the same thing.
That heroin smack loser.
There are
fill his arm with junk.
So I like No-No. It's very well done. I'm recommending it. But again, when you read the tagline on Netflix about the story of Doc Ellis who pitched the only no hitter on, and that's the title of the movie No-No. And I think No-No maybe they're part of drawing a parallel to like saying no to drugs at the end of his life too. That's only evident when you watch the movie, but if you just read the tagline, you go, oh, this will be a funny documentary. And it ends up not being funny. It ends up being kind of sad.
Funny is the hardest thing to do.
Yeah.
Most people don't do it very well.
Yeah.
And, we expect everything to be funny. Yeah.
So that was okay. I mean,
I did not expect to be funny today and it wasn't.
The show's been great.
So we've achieved.
And then speaking of redemption stories, sports documentaries, there's an Iron Sheik documentary on Netflix.
Oh, I've not seen it yet.
Called The Sheik.
No spoilers.
Simply The Sheik.
Yeah.
And, of course, if you know Iron Sheik in modern day, most people know Iron Sheik because he goes on Howard Stern and gets drunk and acts crazy. But, of course, this movie, of course, he has to disavow that part of his life, like all of these things. But it's pretty good. I mean, I've seen a lot of these wrestling documentaries on WWE Network and stuff. The problem with this one is it doesn't have any WWE footage. So when he, beats Bob Backlund for the title and Hulk Hogan beats him, or when he was at WrestleMania 3, like, you don't see any of that. You see a lot of Sheik from, like, independent shows, like, later in his life.
It's very annoying.
Yeah, and that is annoying. There is some great stuff of him as, like, a young man, and then, like, on the Iranian national wrestling team with the full head of hair, and then he was the Shah of Iran's bodyguard, and you see some stills of that. And that's kind of funny to see, and he talks about how he breaks into wrestling, and he was a referee, and that was, it's okay. I mean, and then they do play a lot of the clips of him going crazy on Howard Stern, and I guess the thing that broke him in the public's eye was when Michael Richards did the thing where he said the N-word at the comic strip or whatever it was, Comedy Store, and
the Laugh Factory.
I was there. I was circling Laugh Factory and never got there. But I guess, he cut a promo on YouTube. And said he was going to fuck his ass and make him humble and,
Was that the Michael, was that directed at Michael Richards?
Yeah, it was directed. The original one that went viral was directed at Michael Richards.
I thought it was Hulk Hogan.
Well, eventually he ended up doing cutting promos on Randy Savage and Hulk Hogan and all that stuff. Now, I know Sheik. I've worked with Sheik a couple times. I don't want to say I know the guy, but I got to hang out with him, and I got to hang out with the guy that kind of takes him around, who you see a lot of in this movie. And the deal with Sheik is when Sheik does like a comedy appearance, which they didn't show any of his comedy appearances. You know, basically the idea is,
I can't believe that wasn't the focus.
You know, somebody is the Sheik's. You know, somebody goes out, and it's kind of like, you know, like Soupy thing. You know, you go out and you ask Sheik a bunch of questions, and the guy kind of tells you, yeah, ask Sheik this, ask Sheik that. And, you know, the first time I did it with Sheik, he had Shuley with him from Howard Stern. So Shuley came out and asked him about Hulk Hogan, and he was called Hulk Hogan a faggot, and he was going to fuck Hulk Hogan in the ass. And any question, it was all Sheik getting crazy and angry, and, you know, and it was funny. And then the second time, Sheik came to the Gathering of the Juggalos, and I was going to be the guy that, but Sheik was in a pissed off mood because it was really late, and I don't know why. Maybe he had stopped drinking at that point, or he wasn't drinking that night, or didn't smoke pot. And Sheik wasn't like giving me anything. I probably talked about it when it happened on the show, but Sheik just kind of sat there, and I was like, "Tell me about Hulk Hogan, isn't you can kick his ass, right?" And he's like, "Hulk Hogan, my friend, me and Hulk Hogan." We friends on the road. Right. I said, okay, well, tell me about Randy Savage. You didn't like him, right? Randy Savage, he liked my marijuana. He liked my cocaine. Randy Savage, my friend. And he just wouldn't. He wouldn't cut promos on anybody. And I just, after like 20 minutes, said, all right, thanks, Sheik.
That's what Mike Nesmith did on the Gilbert Show.
Yeah.
Is he was a bad interview.
Yeah.
In that he was like, well, that's not really the story that I remember. And you're like, but... I mean, no one's sitting here going, I want the honest to God actual facts of the monkeys. Yeah. No one's writing a fucking term paper. Yeah. Just tell us we all took turns with Yvonne Craig from Batman because they shot on the lot next to us. Well, and Mickey and I were following her from behind.
There's some good stuff. They talk, even Jim Duggan's interviewed, and they talk about when they got picked up for having coke in the car and they got fired and stuff. And that's interesting. I mean, I've heard that story a million times over the years, but it's pretty good. I mean, I liked it. If you like Iron Sheik, if you're entertained by him, go watch the Sheik documentary on Netflix. Why not? It's free if you got Netflix, and... it's worth a look.
Is there any truth that the Sheik broke the back and fucked the ass of Jeff Hobson?
No, I don't think that. No, he would make him humble, Corey. He's not to make him gay. He'd make him humble.
No, but my dick was so good, I made him gay.
Is that what he?
Sheik
is
dick,
that a quote? Is
Sheik
that a
dick
Sheik
so
quote?
Good.
Well, look, you get all your Sheik coverage. If you want to see an interview with a modern day interview with Jimmy Snuka, Nikolai Volkov, Cowboy Bob Orton, it's all in the Sheik documentary. Hulk Hogan's in there.
I was trying to explain to my wife the other night about, you know, she's a little appalled that I'm a Stern fan.
Yeah.
She's grown a little more accustomed to it being around me for so long.
Yeah.
And having heard some Stern in the car and stuff. Yeah, that she gets the tower. Yeah. Howard was like public enemy number one to her.
Yeah.
Before she met me.
Before she met, is it because of you that she is warmed up, or is it because of Howard that she's warmed up?
No, it's
because
she used to live in the Women's Resource Center in college.
Yeah, I understand that. But...
And fucking Rudd, Camille Paglia, and all that.
So who's changed more, you, her, or Howard?
Howard.
Okay.
Howard has definitely softened.
Yeah, he has.
But when he goes on an interview, like on Letterman last night, he was like, fuck Jay Leno, don't have that clown on.
Yeah.
Why would you do that to yourself?
Absolutely.
He's a scumbag. That's why I always liked Howard Stern.
Sure.
When I was a kid, before I even heard his radio show, because I would just see Howard on stuff.
Yeah, you would see. Yeah, I mean, Howard was on Detroit radio when I was like in middle school. So I actually did hear him on there. But I didn't really become a fan until I saw him on Letterman.
Yeah.
And that's where I first became really exposed.
And his show wasn't really on here until the mid-90s.
Yeah, right.
So, but I was aware of Howard from Letterman. And I'd see him on Letterman or whatever other shows he'd occasionally get on. And every time he went on the show, and this has been my belief that this is how you do television, you go on and you're interesting.
Yeah.
Or when you do radio, you got to come in and bring a little heat and smoke.
Yeah.
And Howard always delivered that every time.
Well, who didn't? The Sheik? What are you?
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, Sheik.
The Sheik was a bad interview. I'm just saying.
No, well, the one.
Okay,
look,
the Sheik is a crazy old man.
The problem is.
And the problem with talking to a crazy old man is once in a while, they're just going to be fucking
old. No, the problem with Sheik, it's right. Yeah. The thing is, Sheik had that gimmick where he'd go crazy on everybody. But the night he decides he doesn't want to do that gimmick, then you're sitting there with your dick in your hand going, oh,
right.
Fuck.
But
what
he's
do I do
not
to Sheik now?
Savvy enough to understand.
No, he's
whereas
not.
Whereas
exactly, yes.
Randy Savage right. would give you the fucking gimmick
yeah,
every time.
Yeah.
Although Hogan says that was just Randy, but then I don't believe fucking word out of
Hogan. Well,
Hogan, mouth.
That's the Hogan gimmick too. Is Hogan's full, and that's the thing about Hogan.
Do you believe one word Hogan ever
no,
says?
No, and when you see Hogan in this documentary, because you know Sheik's got a camera crew and he's on like a golf cart and they're at a wrestling convention,
yeah.
So they're going from booth to booth and he's saying hi to Demolition and he's saying hi to Bret Hart and he's saying sure. hi, and you can see he sees Hogan. And Hogan sees the camera, and then Hogan's like, oh, come here, good buddy, man. I love you so much, Sheik. Come here. And it's like, you know, Hogan sees the camera. And you know, and that was the thing with the Ultimate Warrior documentary that they made, you know, right the weekend that Ultimate Warrior died at WrestleMania last year. Is, you know, Hogan and Warrior hadn't talked in years. And Hogan, when the camera just happened to be there, and Hogan came off like the greatest guy in the world. Had no problem with Warrior. Had nothing bad to say. Embraced him with open arms right when the camera was there. So he's a worker, you know?
Well, but that's the thing. But that's the thing that people...
He's savvy.
Some people understand that being a celebrity
yeah.
is a totality of experience. Kurt Cobain did not understand that.
No.
Kurt Cobain
he never
not
learned the game, yeah.
wrap his yeah. little beautiful blonde head around the notion that he was working. Yeah. And occasionally he'd be incredibly media savvy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he'd very, very sharp in his critiques of whatever. Yeah. And he went on the fucking Rolling Stone magazine photo shoot with the T-shirt that said, corporate rock still sucks.
Corporate magazines
yeah,
still
yeah,
suck,
corporate yeah. magazines suck. Like, he would be very clever about that stuff and then yeah. couldn't get the idea that he's a celebrity.
Yeah, he's
and that's what I'm saying. Howard Stern, for whatever you want to say about him, whenever a microphone puts in front of him,
yeah.
he tries the best he can
he
to
does,
be interesting.
Yeah, he does. Sheik, but anyway, you know, if you want to watch Sheik, if you like Iron Sheik, you like that 80s wrestling, I think it's worth a look. It's on Netflix. Why not?
All right.
Yourself out. You got anything else, or should we call it a night?
I think we've done all the
night?
Damage we can do.
I'm going to go chase Rebel Wilson around. So.
All
she
right.
Probably won't be hard to catch. But
you never know.
What can I tell you? I don't know.
Joel, what about your new shock mount? How was that purchased?
Well, if you want to go on PayPal.com, actually go to Joel Radio. You scroll down, you'll see the little box to donate on PayPal. Any amount of money you want to give, you know, we've never done a Kickstarter, we've never done an Indiegogo, a GoFundMe, any of that stuff, Patreon. We don't do all that stuff here, but if you like the show
maybe
and you
we
want
should.
To support, well, listen, hey, you know what? This show, what was the technology on this show that we innovated, Corey? What was the new technology that was broken in on this episode of Joel Radio?
The fart buzzer.
No, actually, we did get to the fart buzzer.
The Rebel Wilson purchase.
We have a new headphone splitter.
Headphone splitter, yes.
We have a new headphone splitter that I purchased. So, new all this stuff costs money. We keep the show to you. It's absolutely free. It always has been. But if you like the show and you want to support, you can go on joelradio.net. Scroll down, find the PayPal link, and donate a couple bucks. Any amount is fine. We love our fans. We like to give you the show for free. We apologize. We were, I think, 3 weeks off on the last two. But we'll be back soon. We got all the big summer movies coming out. We'll cover that. Maybe we'll go to Gay Pride Fest. What else should we do? what other big
you tell
we
have? Us.
Yeah, you tell
send
us what you like.
Emails. Hit Twitter.
Yeah. Well, you can contact us right on the front page of joelradio.net. There's a button that says contact us. You hit that. Type in whatever you want, and we'll read that. And,
like the Facebook page.
Like,
there's
yeah,
so many
Joel
ways
on
you can follow and support this.
Yeah.
Discussion so between two fat middle-aged men. I'm going to now do a live read for Audible.
No.
And,
yeah.
Oh, no? No?
We could do, but see, I don't even want to do those. I'm sure I could get us Audible. I don't think that would be hard. I'm sure I could get a stamp.
Let's get Audible.
I'm sure I could get
Let's
stamps.com.
Get stamps.com.
And you could click on the microphone
every
in the upper right corner
has them.
And get that. But I don't want to be like, I'm fine with this show being the
you
way
you are?
It is. I like it.
I'm fine with taking a check from Audible.
Yeah, but you're not going to make any money that way. You might as well get a check on PayPal from someone who loves us, like our fans who are listening right now.
All right. We'll
Come
make
on,
something.
Dude.
All right.
You know.
What about Squatty Potty? I will endorse the shit
what you wanna do?
Out of Squatty Potty. Well, write us a check.
I'm fine with that. All right.
Shark Tank good, After the Tank not so good.
Oh, I haven't seen After the Tank. Beyond the Tank, I think it's called.
Okay, excuse me.
Yeah, get it right. But no good, huh?
It's okay. It's just
I wonder if those guys really...
Again, I don't watch Shark Tank for your heartwarming fucking
story. Yeah, it's a pity party. Huh?
I'm interested to a certain extent in how you came up with the idea or whatever.
Yeah.
Then I don't want to hear, my grandmother died in a whale, and that's why I created the whale be gone. Like, shut up.
I kind of glaze over during Shark Tank now, whereas I'm just kind of bored with the whole thing. A little bit. I think there's too many of those, maybe. Or just they should do, some of the people aren't interesting like they used to be, or. Yeah,
Kevin is going to want a residual.
Yeah, that's the problem, too.
You know exactly what they're going to do.
You know exactly what everyone's going to say.
Mark is going to be interested in a technology company with an app or something he can cross-promote with the Mavs.
I can sell this at the Mavs game.
Or I have a channel on
the game.
Lori is going to go for something she can pitch on QVC.
Sure, yeah.
Barb is going to make an appeal to the women, be like, I believe in you.
Yeah.
She's going to try and be like big sister them.
Yeah.
And then the what's his nuts from Canada?
Robert Herjavec.
Herjavec will only invest in stuff that will get him more pussy.
By the way,
you know what I mean? If it's like a speedboat, if it's like a jet ski, a speedboat, snowboard, cigars, it's all like macho culture.
Don't let me forget him when it comes to the assholes of the year. Because as much as I like him on Shark Tank, I think he comes off great on there.
Uh-huh.
Him on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh.
He's banging that dancer on Dancing with the Stars, that broad. And he was like, he was in like this open, like a shirt, like a button-up shirt, which was like completely open to the waist. And it looked like they had kind of like painted on a six pack. Mm-hmm. And he was prancing around the other night when I was in Pittsburgh watching that shit. Mm-hmm. Holy fucking
Damon
shit.
Damon will be upset if you don't take his offer immediately.
Yeah, exactly.
The second someone tries to negotiate, he's like, well, I'm out.
Yeah, so yeah.
That show, you just, you know the formula.
I feel like the products aren't that good and they're not that interesting anymore. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's a thing where they're making too many of those. That might be a thing. With Shark Tank.
It's possible.
I still have some, and I Beyond the Tank, I am going to watch at least once, mm-hmm. but I don't know. I feel like I'm losing inch. I feel like it's sort of death by...
There's only so many, like, this is a new handbag for women.
Yeah, it just becomes...
This is a new sighting. Yeah. Once in a while, there'll be something interesting and innovative that comes on there.
And sometimes the guys fight, either the sharks fight with each other, or the pitchman fights with the sharks, and that's interesting. But a lot of times, it's just all too by the numbers, and it's just not interesting.
All television is.
No, but it's just it becomes like Millionaire, where there were too many of them, and it was on too much, and you just went like, these are all the fucking same. I know they're not all the same, but they all sort of have a formula.
Well, people like formula.
They do.
Unfortunately, we don't like it as much.
No.
Except the formula for this show.
Which is?
We grumble at each other, and I try not to see your balls because you're wearing shorts.
I'm not wearing
All right, let's get out of here.
I haven't seen my balls. My balls were not seen. My balls were neither seen.
One of those bad boys is going to peek out.
My balls were neither seen nor heard on this show.
No, it's true. Exactly. One day I'm going to catch a big...
it's all right.
I'm going to see a big guinea stank egg.
I'm not...
crawling out of your shorts.
I'm not wearing like little track shorts. These are like...
You're wearing Isaiah Thomas booty shorts.
These are not Isaiah Thomas booty shorts.
I'm Vinny sure Johnson, the microwave.
These are not.
Your little Kevin McHale
they
shorts.
They are not Dennis Rodman shorts.
No, your Kurt Rambis shorty pants. All right, let's get out of this.
Good night and goodbye. Good night and good luck. Goodbye and so long.
Good night and good Rebel Wilson.
Goodbye, Dave. Goodbye, Dave.
Now I'm sad.
Rebel Wilson.
Now I'm bummed out.
All right. We're going to go watch Pitch Perfect.
We're going to...
Come on, boys.
Mujibur, Surajul, call me.
Exactly.